even though he's got some sort of conservative credibility. It's not easy to sort all this stuff out.
And Lynn,
Barbara Mikulski of Maryland, could it be that she's a closeted gay woman in the Senate?
Good possibility.
And I don't mean that disrespectfully to any of the gay community.
No, but it's, that was one of.
I mean, this is after all.
Okay, don't you
South America.
Go! Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Timing may be a little bit off. Might be a little bit of rust on the chain. Pedals might be a little bit floppy, but we're going to ride this thing for a couple of hours tonight, I think. Hey, everybody. Gosh, it feels like I've been gone for a week. Oh, wait a minute. I have been. We haven't talked since May. Of course, this is only the second day of June, so, you know, you'll have that. Oh, wow, do I feel good to be back behind the microphone. I'm still a little dodgy. I got to tell you the truth, I am. I'm not completely over the hump of this intestinal intifada that struck me a little over a week ago. And it was ugly. It was really, really ugly. Don't torment yourself by graphically trying to imagine just how ugly. But it was. So, I'm still on light duty. I still really light duty. And I still haven't seen solid food. Broadcasting live with a nasogastric tube up his nose and down his throat, it's Bob Kincaid. No, not quite that bad, but we got pretty darn close. Closer than I care to admit. We thought it was gallbladder. It wasn't gallbladder. It was the curse of the Northern European genetic structure. That's what it boils down to. I have cholesterol superpowers. I can store cholesterol as a Northern European male, or a male of Northern European extraction. I can store cholesterol better than just about any other human being on the planet. And, you know, the funny thing is, and we'll get this out of the way real quick, because some of you, you know, guys, if the show disappears, hint, go to the website, headonradionetwork.com. If I am abducted by aliens, if I am laid low by intestinal whatever, if the Mothman, the West Virginia Mothman or the Braxton County thing gets me in the middle of the night, we will put it on the website at headonradionetwork.com. Okay? Somebody will get it up there. So, you know, one of the news ninjas, Susan most likely, or Sue ELO, the news ninja Gene, somebody will get it up on the website. You know, Bob's been carried off by the Braxton County thing or the Lawrence County hollering thing or whatever. But so that's the best place to go to get updates on every show on the Head On Radio Network. The Horn is to go to headonradionetwork.com. There's a wonderful blog there, lots of news postings. Opportunity for you to comment on blogs, opportunity for you to comment in the forum. Every conceivable way of communication is available at headonradionetwork.com. But anyway, as I was saying, I can make me some cholesterol. And the funny thing is, you go to the doc and he says, your cholesterol's really high, Bob. Oh, did I just say hi, Bob? Everybody drink. Your cholesterol's really high, Bob, and they we're going to put you on a drug to lower, because that's really bad for your heart. And then you get emails saying, well, Bob, you know, the jury's still out on the statin drugs, and they may be more dangerous, and yada, 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 and it's not certain as to whether or not cholesterol will really, really wipe out your heart and what the impact, because that famous long-distance runner dropped dead, and he had perfect cholesterol. And that's all true. But here is one of the things in medical science I found out that is an unassailable fact. High triglycerides and high cholesterol will eat your pancreas for lunch. I mean, there's not even any debate left. It's like the 10,000-year-old, less than 10,000-year-old Earth versus the multi-billion-year-old Earth. There's no the only people arguing for the 10,000-year-old Earth are the same people, you know, who belong in bell jars at Ripley's Believe It or Not auditorium, okay? There's no debate left. Cholesterol and triglycerides will rot your digestive organs. And they never tell you that. I mean, I like to think I'm a fairly reasonable individual. You tell me that, you tell me that about the heart. I take that seriously. I eat a little aspirin every day, you know, and Agnes, you know, smacks my hand when I go for the Velveeta in the refrigerator. And the Velveeta has been carried out of the house, by the way. And I'm going to be going through a pasteurized processed cheese food product spread 12-step program. Hi, my name is Bob, and I have no control over pasteurized processed cheese food product spreads. Hi, Bob. Yeah, really. I mean, that's a thing that's happening with my life now. I mean, we are rearranging the Kincaid diet. We look for words like trans fats now, like we never did before. All that fried wonderful stuff that I love so much ain't happening anymore. You know, maybe a little bit of boiled chicken once in a while and a slice of dill pickle. I don't know. But it was an ugly, ugly time of it. And frankly, I spent the last week profoundly, profoundly affected by heavy-duty opiates. Hydrocodone, to be quite honest. And one of the reasons I wasn't on the air is I refused to do, as I have said on a number of occasions, Rush Limbaugh Radio. I have entirely too much respect for the people who spend their time with me and with us here at the Horn to ever get behind the microphone whacked out of my mind on downers. Oh, what? Wait. Hold on.
Press 9 now to receive your $2,600 towards this vacation, and we will also include a second Cancun vacation for you to give away as a wonderful gift. Press 9 now to enjoy beautiful beaches, water...
Nah, I don't have it in me. I'm not going to mess with her.
Oh, my God. We want a vacation to Cancun.
And I won't let her go. You know how... Yeah, Mexican food's off the diet, too. So, anyway, that's where I was in the last week, sort of doubled up in pain. And it is passing. It is not entirely gone yet. And we got, as an added bonus, there's a kidney stone. Woo! Party! So, for those of you keeping score at home, it is Bob's insides 12, Bob nothing right now. But I can tell you, I promise you this, I am absolutely drug-free behind the microphone. In fact, Agnes brought me one of those funny little pills, and I said, no, 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 not while the mic's hot. And so, and you know what? The stuff works. But I, let me, okay, quick sidebar. Before we get into the business of the evening, quick sidebar. I learned a little something. Because, frankly, had it not been for these heavy-duty synthetic opiates, because hydrocodone is, in fact, a synthetic opiate, it doesn't come from an opium poppy or anything. Because of this stuff, my gut pain, which was profound, went away and made it possible for me to rest and rest my gut. But at the same time, that all this was happening, you know, I mentioned that I get this little pinched nerve thing going into my neck. Well, that happened too. And it's still with me because I can't take any ibuprofen or aspirin or anything to give me any relief from that because, you know, an analgesic and no. And so I've still got that going for me, and it really hurts. This is not Bob's pain on parade. I promise you we're going to get to the good part of the program. But I did find this interesting, because here I am taking all the hydrocodone that I want, basically take at will. Yes, doctor, every 4 to 6 hours, but you know, but with orders, you know, stay ahead of the pain. Take it if you're not hurting. Don't let the pain come back, was the order. And I took them at their word, and I took them very seriously. So I'm on a pretty heavy dose of this stuff. And it doesn't even touch the pain that radiates from my neck into my right shoulder. And I scratched my pointy little head because I realized something. You know, I joke about I won't do Rush Limbaugh radio because he spent all those years crawling behind the microphone, just whacked out of his brains on, you know, when you're not getting them by prescription and you have to send your maid out to get them, they become street drugs, right? So I'm sitting there and I scratch my pointy little head and I went, wait, this isn't touching the pain that's emanating from my neck. And then it suddenly dawned on me. I remembered that back when Flush did his big mea culpa on the air, my friends, I have an addiction to prescription pain medications. Lying bastard. You have an addiction to street drugs. You don't have a prescription. But anyway, I have an addiction to prescription pain medication, and I'm going to be going away to the detox mansion for a few weeks and talking to the horsies. But I'm going to come back cleaner and more conservative than ever. Remember, this is before he came back and started playing Barack the Magic Negro, okay? So, I mean, just consider the source. But then he described, I did not choose to become my friends addicted to prescription pain medications. At one point in time, I had a terrible, terrible pinched nerve slip disc in my neck. And these medications were prescribed for me to relieve that pain and make it possible for me to get behind the golden EIB microphone and bring you the program. And that's when all the bells and whistles and lights went ding, 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 lion sack of crap! Because he is one. Those meds that he was hooked on are not used to relieve that kind of pain. And I stand as abject proof thereof. Take one, takes care of the gut pain. Take two, take three. Doesn't matter. Takes care of the kind of pain that was going on in my insides. Never, no matter how much, never touches the neck pain. at all. Because that ain't what it's for. So if there was ever any doubt in my mind that Rush Limbaugh was a lying bag of putrid gas, it was foreclosed in the last week. Because frankly, I would have rested better if my neck hadn't been hurt. Ooh, my aching back. No, really. I would have rested considerably better. Because it's one of, you know, it's in your neck and it's in one of those places where you just can't quite get comfortable when you're laying down. But the meds did nothing for it. And that's when I realized that because he has to crawl, slither, sleaze, and slime himself in behind a microphone for 3 hours every day, and lie and vituperate and just absolutely fornicate the truth, that Flush Flimball, no matter the millions, reached a place inside his own skull where he couldn't stand to be inside his own skin. And while I don't get the fascination of a downer, and I don't much get speed either, I get the societal, you know, hanging out with buddies, friends, you know, and drinking something, or, you know, engaging in sharing the kind of psychoactive substances, be it alcohol or something else, that you share among friends and thereby share the moment, if you will. I understand that. It's very tribal, really. But I never understood that urge to shoot something into your arm or drop a pill down your throat and sit back and stare at your shoe tops for 4 hours. Until I realized that the reason he needed that was that because during the time that he was doing that, he got a little bit of relief from being him. He got a little bit of relief from being a multimillionaire lying sack of dung. He got a little bit of relief from the lies that he doesn't just, not just the lies that he tells to the American people, but the lies that he has to tell to himself to make it from dawn of one day to dawn of the next. And suddenly, Flush Flimball's little problem came into perfect focus for me. So, you know, the next time you think, oh, poor Rush, I had that neck injury, that's how I became an addict, kiss my butt. That ain't how he became an addict. He became an addict because he couldn't stand to just go on being him. There's a wonderful... you remember who Jules Pfeiffer was? Brilliant cartoonist, a tremendous writer. Had a lot of cartoons in the New Yorker in years past. I don't know if he's gone now or not. But Jules Pfeiffer did a couple of plays. One of them was called Pfeiffer's World, and another one was called Hold Me, I believe. And Hold Me was a series of vignettes based upon characters that Pfeiffer had created in cartoons and so forth. And in one of them, the character just walks onto a bare stage, stands in the center, and he says, "Sometimes I feel so low that I can barely stand to get out of bed in the morning." He brightens a little bit. He says, "Sometimes I feel so high. I feel like the king of the world. And that there's nothing I can't accomplish. And then he sort of shifts to the middle and he says, but sometimes I just feel like me. So I drink. And that's the end of it. And that's Rush Limbaugh in a nutshell. And that, in these first 20 minutes of the program this evening, is the explanation for, hey, where was Bob? That's where Bob was. Now, whether we may... Listen, let's be square about this. I haven't done this in a week. I am not at the top of my game. I don't know if I'm going to make 3 hours tonight. I know I'll make one. Might make two. Whether we make three is largely dependent upon you. Depends on whether or not you want to, you've got something that you want to conversate about for the evening. Also, coming up tomorrow night, about 7 o'clock, the second hour of the program, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, we've talked with Ed Wiley before. You know Ed Wiley. Ed Wiley is the grandfather of a child who was a student at Marsh Fork Elementary School in Raleigh County, the school that sits in the hellish shadow of a massy sludge dam and sits hard by a coal preparation plant, Sundial, West Virginia. Ah, Jules Pfeiffer is very much alive. Very good. Thank you. Ed Wiley has walked from West Virginia to Washington, D.C. Ed Wiley works tirelessly for school children who have to go to school at places like Marsh Fork to see that they get a decent educational opportunity and that they don't have to breathe coal filth when they try to learn. Ed Wiley will join us tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. And I hope you will join us then. If you want to, you can call in with questions for Ed if you feel so inclined. As far as the rest of the program is concerned, and where we go and what we do, it's one of those things where I feel like, you know, I turn my back. I can't leave this microphone for a minute. I turn my back and everything just goes straight to hell. By the time that I turned the microphone off this past Friday night, well, Assassination Gate had begun. And then, in the wake of Assassination Gate, we also got McClellan Gate. You know, where with the book out by slithering Scotty McClellan. And his the little decision to write a book telling us after the fact that he had closed the barn door, but the horses were already gone. Nah, I miss it all. I miss everything. So, that's a little bit frustrating. But there's plenty to go into this evening. And what you want to bring to the table is entirely up to you. Is there something that I've missed? Is there something that you think should be prioritized? I welcome you to do your part to determine the direction that the program takes this evening. For me, how about a little giggle? Let's start the program with a bit of a giggle this evening. You know how much I hate Walmart, right? You know that I would rather just live naked than have to dress in clothing from Walmart, right? Yeah. It's trust me, it's not a pretty sight. Bright and pink, that head to toe, just big 6'2" tall pink thing, just wandering naked. Or don't try to visualize it; it'll ruin your supper, especially on the West Coast because you haven't eaten yet. But I hate going in Walmart. I despise Walmart. And here in our little community, we also have a Kmart. And when we got to go to a discount, you know, department store type thing, we will, like as not, go to Kmart. even though recognizing that it is true that what, you know, Raymond said in Rain Man, of course, Kmart sucks. Yes, it does, Raymond. Well, Kmart does suck. How do I know? Because, attention Kmart shoppers, the blue light is now flashing in our ladies ready-to-wear, our juniors ready-to-wear department. The blue light is now flashing for only $12.95 a pair for the next 30 minutes. True love waits pants. No, really. Abstinence pants. How I wish I was lying. Kmart is selling abstinence pants. They're not selling them in the guys' department. They're selling them in women's wear. And I guess juniors and little girls. Abstinence pants. These are sweatpants. You know, drawstring pants. Ever so sexy in the first place. God, I used to hate winter in college when... Oh, I hated it, because all the beautiful, beautiful girls that I went to college with would just descend into sweatshirts, sweatpants, hell, until, like, April. And that's what made spring such a wonderful, wonderful thing. I later went on to school at the University of Alabama, where spring comes about late February, and I had a classmate who was from Nebraska, where spring just apparently, you know, I don't know, comes in like July or something. And we were walking to class one day, and beautiful, beautiful young woman passed us, pair of shorts, little t-shirt. It was February 26th or something. And my buddy Jeffrey looks at me and says, "Oh, Mr. Bob, I grew up in Nebraska, and I got to tell you, I do love February in the South." I just said, "Amen, Brother Jeffrey. Amen." So I have a predisposition against formless, icky sweatpants. And they're worse now. Because flashing in the juniors department at your local Kmart under the blue light, abstinence pants. The product description from Kmart says, whether she is lounging around the house, going to practice, or doing her chores, these soft athletic style crop pants will keep her comfy. Across the butt of these soft athletic style crop pants are the words, "True love waits." And across the front on one, let's see, it would appear to be the left leg, a little rainbow leading into a heart also says, "True love waits." Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I realize that talking about photographs on the radio is truly dancing about architecture, but I found it over on Flickr. I found a photograph of these things being worn in real life. And, you know, nothing says, "Don't sexualize me," like writing "True love waits" across your butt. I guess, I don't know. Maybe after the ball gowns come off, this is what you wear to the reception for the purity ball. I don't know anymore. I'm just... True love. True love waits. Abstinence pants. I guess we could call them chastity pants, couldn't we? Shoot me an email. Go to your local Kmart. See if they've got the abstinence pants. Of course, I'm equally intrigued by the description that they're good for when she's doing her chores. Jethreen, have you slopped the hogs today? Are you done with your chores there in your abstinence pants? Jiminy. I'm surprised... I'm surprised Agnes isn't already on a march to Kmart, you know, with the pitchforks and the torches and the boiling tar. When she's done with her chores, that she does while wearing her abstinence pants. Oh, God. It may be a long night, but it's going to be a fun night, right? I'm so happy to be back. This is America's liberal voice. America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn.
I know that.
backwards skate. Everybody backwards skate. For one, candy apples at the concession stand. And remember, please, do not leave your socks and your skates when you turn them back in at the rental counter. 24 and a half minutes before the hour. You know what? I got to come to grips with something. This show's just good for me. It just is. All the evil little pains in my gut have gone away. That was so much fun. You know, I really am. I think we're going to try to go over to the local Kmart and get a pair of abstinence pants for the whole family. And we'll take a picture of each. We'll take a picture with us all standing there, to, you know, from the back. Everybody sort of looking over their shoulder, looking a little excited, looking a little scared. You know, that kind of thing. I think it'll be great. Abstinence pants. Oh my God. Let's see. Agnes is grabbing some phone lines here. She came back to hang out with me on my first night back, just to make sure that I didn't run screaming out of the room or anything. It's awfully fun to have Agnes back here. You know, summer's on, and she's talking about coming back in and playing with us. Won't that be fun? So we got past the abstinence pants, but we're not. Oh, there's so much more that we're not past. Make the abstinence pants go away, Bob. There we go. Oh, yeah, another giggle for you. How sad is it when 11-year-old American children publicly state that the President of the United States is an embarrassment? 11-year-olds. I mean, I remember when Flush Flemball, in the depths and hells and horrors of his self-imposed addiction, used to scream into the microphone, "My friends, what will we tell the children? How will we possibly explain the fact that the President of the United States had sex? Or something like it. That's why it must be for, it's for the children. Got to be removed from office. Give me another pill." Well, now we're in a really sad place because 11-year-olds are embarrassed by George W. Bush. The National Spelling Bee was held recently, and the Examiner caught up with some of the contestants. In fact, one of the people they caught up with was a young lady by the name of Jessica Shakespeare. Jessica is 11 years old, and she is from, yes, wonderful, wild, west, by God, Virginia. And she was asked the question, "Jessica, do you think President Bush could spell constitutional?" And she said, "Nah, I don't think so." Raymond Soriano's 14, and he remembered that Bush misspelled business at one point in time. And he went on to say, "That is embarrassing." Of course, there's an irony in the fact that George Bush couldn't spell constitutional. Why would he need to spell it when he doesn't ever be it? Vincent Medina is from Florida. He said, "Heh, anybody can outspell Bush." Now, it takes a Canadian to up the ante, though. Jonathan Schutt is 13 years old and from Canada, and he says he can outspell Dick Cheney and Condoleezza Rice, too. Yeah. I wonder what the right-wingers will do. I wonder what the right-wingers will do about these children. You know, Natalie Maines stood on stage and said she was embarrassed that Bush was from Texas because she was a Texan. Raymond Soriano is 14, and he's from Texas, and he says that George Bush is an embarrassment. What's Sean Hannity going to do to Raymond Soriano? Because, you know, right-wingers are, after all, sleazy bastards. How will they attack this poor 14-year-old kid for telling the truth? I don't know. Maybe they can burn the word that he spelled in the spelling bee in effigy or something. God. Well, I'll tell you what. Enough of that. Let's go to the phones. We've got, hey, from the far, far desert, deep in the heart of Arizona, we've got Kate calling in. Hey, Kate.
Yes, that would be me. Have you been gone? I'm sorry.
That's just not fair.
Okay. I've obviously been offline for a while, so anyway, it's a little easier to get serious if you'd ever get serious on...
I get serious all the time. What are you talking about?
I know, you got it. And those abstinence pants are very cool. I think I'm going to make a special trip into town and get them. Oh, that'll be fun. I don't know that it would be, I don't know that they'd be very attractive on me, though. But it's better than...
But I think that, isn't that the point, Kate? They're not supposed to be attractive, because true love waits.
Yeah, I know. It waits and waits and waits, and then when it gets here, it lied. But it's better
since they're putting the word true love waits across the butt, doesn't that also mean that true love stalks?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It very much does. I'm really offended by the... You started that whole rant with a giggle. You said, "How about a giggle?" And I thought, "How long is it going to? How long am I going to wait to giggle?"
Yeah, the chores part was especially not funny.
But I like the idea that there's the little rainbow on the front. Do they have any idea what the connotation is there?
Well, they haven't gotten the memo from the Coral Snake Ministry or Falwell Ministries or whatever. But as soon as they do, the rainbow will be gone.
Queers are out of here. Yep. But it's better than wearing the sweatpants that have bite me across the butt.
Well, that or it's all about the juicy. I remember a story about that a few years back. Since when did anyone's rear end become advertising space for anything except the letter W on a pair of Wrangler jeans?
Oh, those nice Wranglers. Those pretty W's. They're so cute. I just wanted to call in and because I feel like I've been kind of rude to the audience and people who give a crap about me. I just wanted to let everybody know that I'm home and I'm taking a lot of naps to recover from sleep deprivation from the winter. And it's still, the conditions down there in Hancock County are still really horrendous and they're not getting any better. And I have serious disaster fatigue and I think just rest and staying home for a while will help that. But I get really angry when people make big deals out of shit that ain't big deal, you know? It's just changed my whole perspective those last 2 years and it's been a kind of a blessing to be able to work down there with people who are just suffering so that, I don't need to go into that. Blah, blah, blah. PTSD is boring, and it's not even post yet. But coming across the country, I had said that it would cost me $220 to come home and at the rate that with a headwind and going west, there's always a headwind. Well, I was wrong about that. That's changed. The climate is shifting. I had a tailwind most of the way, and you just don't have easterly winds. It cost me $300 right on the money to come home. And as I was coming across I-40, I was remembering when Gunny Bob called in and was talking about the tumbleweeds,
mm-hmm.
in Dakota, and that was so chilling to me that, and with that in mind, I was observing conditions and things along the road and thinking, geez, I should be taking notes or I should call in tonight and say, ooh, you should see what's going on here. Mostly what I was observing was, the crops, the springtime crops are either drowning or burning. And I know the sun's getting a lot hotter and the little tender plants that are coming out that should have that nice warm spring sunshine, it's not warm, it's boiling hot sunshine now, and they're just burning up. And and then places where the rivers, I don't remember particularly, but the rivers are really, really high, and the lowlands around the rivers, the crops have been doing. They'll never get in. The water will never go down soon enough for them to get in and harvest the crops. And so it looks pretty well. And there's some fungus and rust in the grain crops in the central part of the U.S. too. So, you know, whoever's not paying attention to where's your food and where's your water, it is pretty spooky out there.
Yeah, they don't have their eye on the ball.
Yeah. If there's too many other things to be concerned about, I understand that. But it's the truck traffic was had not lessened as much as I thought it would, because usually when you come down off of one of those long hills, like coming out of Albuquerque and looking westward, there's like line after line. I mean, the headlights are just miles across the mountains, and you think, God, what? There must be a traffic jam. I mean, there must be an accident up there somewhere, and they're all parked. Well, no, it's just the regular truck traffic, and that was pretty much the same. The big parking lots at the casinos were all full as usual, but so the independents who are parked aren't so noticeable on the road. However, there are a lot of trucks that have slowed down. I had a couple pacing me at 60 coming across New Mexico, and so the trucks are concerned enough that they are slowing down. And the ones who are still doing 75 and 80 are working for big companies that pay for their fuel, you know, so that's real noticeable to me, too, that one guy was parked in a truck stop, went to sleep. Somebody came in with a cordless drill and drilled a hole in his fuel tanks and drained all of his fuel out.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Gas theft is getting
really We're bad. Turning into a trailer for Road Warrior, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Well, you mentioned the casinos, Kate. I'm looking at a story here that that has a couple of little touch spots on it that I think mm-hmm. will speak to you, and I know spoke to me. You and I both enjoy the music of Mr. Jimmy Buffet from South Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Christmas baby.
Yeah. The pirate who has looked at 60
mm-hmm.
Has looked at 60 and decided he doesn't have enough money.
Oh, yeah.
He has partnered with Harrah's to create the largest development in Mississippi since Katrina, the $704 million Margaritaville Casino.
That totally so sucks.
Yeah, I didn't think you'd like that. Yeah, because I didn't. A Harrah's spokesman says the project could wind up costing more than $1 billion.
Where is this going in at?
I don't have all the specifics, but let's see. Harrah's CEO Gary Loveman tells the Associated Press, "We now have 80 contiguous acres on the water. There's a tremendous footprint that we can put stuff on. That could include more hotels, a condo, further retail, or a theater."
Surely that must be in Alabama, because I don't know.
No, ma'am. Maybe. No, ma'am. Mississippi.
Oh, my God. 80 acres on the water?
Yeah.
There isn't 80 acres in Biloxi where all the big casinos are.
Well, this is taking over two of the casinos that were... The site was formerly occupied by the Grand Casino and Casino Magic.
No, I don't know which ones where those were. They're gone now. They're not called that anymore. So,
but the part that I found particularly galling was Chief Financial Officer for Harrah's Charles Atwood's statement. Quote: "It was one of the silver linings in a pretty big cloud."
Oh, right. Oh, God. Oh.
You know,
I have said. To many, many people, that the president and all of those people up in, those criminals up in D.C., all the criminals in Jackson, including the governor and all of those people, and all the boards of supervisors and all of the county coordinate, all those, everybody, the mayor of that town and that town, they all think they've gotten away with something, and they haven't gotten away with crap. And I also warned somebody that I said to two or three people, if you don't hear from me or something happens to me next time I'm in Mississippi, just chalk it up to the fact I couldn't keep my mouth shut, and it's pretty crooked down there, and I may not come back. So just know that I went out doing what I love doing, causing trouble, doing counterinsurgency.
But, I mean, help me, Kate. Help me inside my own little tiny mind. What's going on inside of Jimmy Buffett's brain? I mean, I'm not a celebrity thingamajig, no, but there's stuff I like out there. And for a long, long time in my life, the music, the soundtrack of Bright Sunshiny Days and Friends Gathering Together or Driving to the Golf Course, it was always Jimmy Buffett. I've been to a million concerts.
Mm-hmm.
And you always go away feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that go, the so-called parrot heads, you know, they're happy people.
Yeah.
And, you know, people come and hook up blenders to their car batteries and stuff.
Right.
And pretend that they're, that they don't lead their lives of quiet desperation for 2 or 3 hours.
Well, that may have something to do with the baby boomers getting scared and having to look at their own mortality, and I mean, we're just so freaking boring that the Gen Xers and Gen Ys are they're fed up with us, and I think it feels like it's a last gasp effort to maintain that kind of attitude that we had back in the 60s and 70s and 50s and 60s, and it depends on which decade you boomed in. Bless his heart. That hurts. Oh God, that's pretty.
And this is all fallout from Haley Barbour's action, Kate. Following Katrina, he moved to allow casinos to be built on land instead of riverboats.
Sure did. Should have come because the barges all washed inland, and the casinos all fell over, and the barges they just floated right up and blew right inland and stuff, and so now they're just going to blow over instead of floating, you know. Yeah, it was a big lobby, and Barbour said more than once that we'll make the Mississippi Gulf Coast will come back as the world premier resort area, and that's what they're doing, and 2,600 people are still living in substandard conditions, and just in Hancock County.
Well, that's, you know, that's where I was going. This makes me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
This is a failure of government.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, among other things, not that I'm any sort of environmental expert, because I'm not, but I recognize that those coastal barrier islands, all, you know, from Florida all the way around the curve, Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, mm-hmm. down into Mexico, those mm-hmm. coastal barrier islands, they're like shock absorbers.
Well, they've been that's one of the things that made Katrina so bad, is that the barrier islands are all washed out, and every ensuing hurricane is going to be worse because there's no barrier. And so, every bit of environmental degradation that goes on is just making it worse. But it's okay, because pretty soon they'll have, you know, the people who are still living in those substandard conditions are mostly, in my experience, are disabled and elderly. And they just want their asses out of there. Just go.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that voting guy from the Federal Election Commission who said, well, you know, nobody gets disenfranchised because they don't live to get old anyway. It's the same thinking, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if we just wait long enough, they'll all die or move out, so it's no big deal. And then hurricane season's here, and we already ducked Arthur, so we've got 15 more to go. And
Kate, to what extent do we hold the people of Mississippi responsible for what the people of Mississippi's government does?
Oh, I would scale a 1 to 10, or on a percentage wise, or and it depends. Are you talking about North Mississippi, Central Mississippi, or?
Well, I mean, all of Mississippi elects the governor, Haley Barbour, who, you know, came up with this boondoggle that allowed the casinos to come on land.
North and Central Mississippi elect the governor. The Baptists elect the governor. Mississippi doesn't.
Okay. All right.
They're run by, I mean, it's not,
So in other words, the fact that there are people still living in substandard conditions, people still living in intolerable conditions, not just in Hancock County, but Jackson County and other counties as well, we can lay that at the doorstep of the people who profess to follow the words of a man who said it is easier for a rich man to get through a camel to get through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. We can lay that at their doorstep. The Baptists.
Yeah, in part, yeah. I'm not a Mississippian, so I can't say. All I can say is what I've observed and how the state is run, and I'm not an insider, so I don't know. I see things from the outside, which gives me a kind of an interesting perspective, or it's totally distorted and I'm full of crap.
No, I don't think you are, because I'm sort of working with a larger theme here. Because it's something I go back and forth on, and that is, you know, to what extent are the voters of any given state responsible for the awful things that happen inside their state? To what extent are the voters of West Virginia responsible for the mountains that are being blown up here?
Well, then I would ask that if the votes counted, then it would be 100%, but votes haven't counted for a long, long time. So, you know, which precinct are you talking about? The one where all of the Democrats, the blacks, have been disenfranchised, in the, you know, because they sent them bulk mail and they didn't respond. And
they gerrymandered their district to make sure that they would have no electoral oomph.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so are they to blame? I don't know. It's hard to say. I do know that I had to do something that I wouldn't. I guess I haven't talked on air since my friend Zeb left for Poland, and I had said, I am not going to New Orleans because my New Orleans is gone. I'm not going there. I'm not going. Well, when he came here, we did the whole Tuscaloosa thing where he did his seminar and gave his lectures and stuff, and we did all, you know, blah, 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 and went back to the Gulf Coast and stayed in Ocean Springs at the Volunteer Center, and that was when he was in the kitchen help, so he didn't have to pay full fare and all that. You know, it was really fun. Living right in the culture. He really wanted to go to see New Orleans, and so I was going to find him one of those tours where he could get picked up at a casino and go and do the day trip and, you know, come back. They don't run anymore. Gray lines have shut down. They're just not running. Oh, God. So I thought, okay, well, maybe. And then I also knew that I was not going to go to the airport because I picked him up and I didn't want to go back to that traffic. It's just, oh, it was like evacuation day. And I thought, I'm not going to do this either, so I was going to call a shuttle, and he was willing to pay even $100 to shuttle from Ocean Springs to New Orleans to the airport. They don't run the shuttles anymore either. So if you don't have a car down there, you're a mess. So I wound up, he was leaving on Tuesday at noon. We went over early Monday morning, and I stopped at an Enterprise place and got a city map, and we drove around, and I showed him everything that he needed or wanted to see, including Ninth Ward and Genesee and, you know, all the neighborhoods and St. Charles and Magazine and the Quarter and Café du Monde and blah, blah, blah. And I was just heartbroken. I mean, I was just a wreck. I couldn't cry. I couldn't respond to any of it because I'm totally focused on traffic and showing him this and talking about that, getting him over to the Mississippi River where he could go up on the levee in the park and blah, blah, blah. So by the time I left there and I took him to the airport, then I found him a room over on the way the hell out of town on Airline Highway, and we had a good, I think we had catfish and gumbo and oysters. Oh, Jesus.
Yum. All of which I can no longer eat. Thank you.
I'm sorry, food porn. I'm sorry, Bob. Oh, I'm so sorry. Anyway, by the time I left there, I just hit the highway and just headed north to get up toward I-40, and I was a mess. And I realized when I got home, I still haven't responded to any of that because I had a long trip home and three obligatory stops to make. And so I'm just sitting around here with all of this critical and judgmental emotional crap. It's going to come out sideways somewhere. I don't know. I can get my exercise in and do some running or something just to get rid of this stuff because it's just, God, what a pile of mess it was when I got home. Ooh-wee. So, but New Orleans is not, it's coming back a little, but most of, a lot of the Ninth Ward still sit like it was when the boards are still on the windows and from the hurricane, and, you know, I mean, it's just empty. Walmart parking lot weeds are up like waist high, and it's just sitting empty. Just empty, like a ghost town. Just empty. So anyway, took up way too much time. I wanted to just check in and let everybody know where I was at, and welcome you back. I'm glad you're feeling better, and say hey to everybody who cares. And I'd like to hear some. Now I can go and turn my computer back on because I have to use a landline because I don't have Verizon. It doesn't work out here again.
Yeah, we're back. Yeah, you're back to that.
Yeah, and I'm on the slow bit. I'm on 26K, blah, blah, and my Verizon broadband quit working. It dumped on me, so I have to take it to town and say, fix this or quit billing me. That's it. So
enough already. Yeah. Well, Kate, it's awfully good to hear from you, and thanks for letting me share the Jimmy Buffett story with you.
Oh, my God. I'd have to really think about that.
I'm really close to one of those oaths, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the I'll never play it again kind of thing?
Kind of, yeah. Right. Oh, God. Oh, anyway. Oh, I just want to freaking dance.
Yeah, ain't that the truth. Kate, take care, dear.
Good to have Agnes back behind the glass, and you on the your mic is hot again, and that's very cool. So take it easy, and I'll be in touch.
All right. Take care, Kate.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. All right. I'll tell you what. We'll take a quick break and then come back. If you want to light up the phones and get things organized, that'll be cool. Got to thinking, what do you wear? What do you wear with your abstinence pants? There's a reference in this tune. This is what you wear with your abstinence pants. This is America's liberal voice. This is the Horn.
Trailer love, trailer love, she's my trailer love. Single wide, chicken fried, mister, we know how to live. Come on in here, have a beer, sticker in our window says fear this, trailer love, trailer love, she's my trailer love. Gonna go out drinking, she's gonna fix her hair, she's gonna wear that sweatshirt with the teddy bears. Trailer love, oh baby, she's my trailer love. Now walking home, we got into a fight about our microwave. Then we saw a sign that said, Jesus saves. Now we're saved. Found our way. One man and one woman in trailer love. No more drunk and saney. Now we're Bush Cheney. Sticker in our window says fear this. Trailer love, trailer bliss.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Goes perfect. The sweatshirt with the teddy bears. That, of course, is our good friend John Koontz. Perfect. Just perfect. The name of the song, of course, if you couldn't guess, Trailer Love. Sticker in our window says Fear This. I got to get a Fear This. Yeah. No. 5 minutes past the hour. I am so very happy to be back. And let's keep it rolling with the phones. David calling in from Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yes. First thing I want to do is I want to say I think we owe it to him. R.I.P. to one of the original rock and rollers, Bo Diddley.
Bo Diddley, absolutely.
I don't know if you're going to start playing his some of his stuff this show, but it'd probably be appropriate.
It would be.
The other thing, before I get to the good, I got to go right to the pain, Bob. This is going to make you go. This is going to make you grab the Maalox or make you.
Oh, please, not the.
No,
straight to the hydrocodone bottle.
This is something we can relate as being, yes, Bob. It is sacred territory. What I am about to say, it might cause a riot on the streets after I'm done. Apparently, Kid Rock has a new single. I'm warming it up right
not
now.
Not even one day back, and you're already at me. Just dig. No, I get it.
Okay,
no.
Apparently, Kid Rock has a single, but that's not what makes it interesting to me, that he has a single, because usually after his drug binge, he'll make some music, or what he likes to call music. Apparently, Mr. Kid Rock, or as I shall refer to him from now on, as Bob Bitchy. His name is Bob Ritchie.
Oh, yeah, true. All true.
Yes. Bob Bitchy has interpolated, which means a replayed sample. Now, how someone could do this? It's so demonic, what I'm about to tell you, Bob. I'm warming it up, so I'm getting the ratings boosting right now.
Okay.
Boosting up the ratings.
Work the book.
Yeah. Apparently, Mr. Bob Bitchy has sampled, interpolated Warren Zevon's. No, it gets worse. On the verse part. Now, when you do that on the verse part, you start thinking, what? But it gets worse, because not only did he have the gall to do that and to claim it as his own, on the chorus, you would not even believe this guy must be Satan. Do you know what he uses for the chorus?
Go ahead. Do it to me.
Sweet Home Alabama?
Oh.
Somehow,
I'm going to be into the pills before the night's out.
Somehow, Mr. Bob Ritchie has corroded the musical world in this incredible inbred fantasy of his to include Lynyrd Skynyrd and Warren Zevon.
And Warren Zevon.
And meld them together. It's like P. Diddy on steroids.
It's like, oh my God, what?
I can't even, but you know what, Bob? I think if you do a horn section.
It's like mixing scotch and beer.
If you do a horn section sometime, you're going to have to scare John with that.
Okay, that's fair.
just sort of
pull it out of the ether and just drop it on him, drop it on his head.
Yeah, there's a great piece on Cracked, cracked.com, which explains beautifully the problem that this guy has with the new Kid Rock single. And it has an accompanying video that I can only say, well, I'll put it to you. It's probably, visually, it's probably like your gallbladder.
That ain't pretty.
Yeah, visually it's like that. It has cliche after cliche after cliche. And on the surface, everything looks okay, but underneath it, you just know there's poison when you're hearing.
You know, come to think of it, that's a lousy thing to say about my lousy gallbladder, okay? I mean, it really is.
Okay, maybe it's not that bad.
No, maybe my gallbladder's not that bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe your gallbladder's not that bad, but the music, oh, yes. But you have to hear it to believe it, Bob.
Wait, David, is somebody? You think somebody's going to play this?
Oh, yeah. Modern rock people will play this because they've been completely dumbed down, Bob. They don't know Warren Zevon, and a lot of people in the DJs don't know Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Oh, quit it. No, now wait a minute. I can understand that maybe some people don't know Warren Zevon. I get that.
Yeah.
But no. Some people don't know Lynyrd Skynyrd.
A lot of people don't know Lynyrd Skynyrd. It's like, you know, Bob, I remember...
Where do they live?
Well, you know, Bob, it's the same people who buy the... It's the generation of the Soldier Boys. I don't know if you've been blessed with that, of hearing that garbage.
No.
But apparently... Across the country.
No, I haven't, and you can't make me.
Well, there's this retard rap sensation named Soldier Boy, and apparently there are no lyrics, and he just says he just yells out at random, and he even has a dance for it, and that's pretty much all of his songs. And I guess apparently he got signed after being heard on MySpace. Can't make this stuff up. And he produces himself, which is something I guess we can say. At least he's creative in some fashion. And apparently, the soccer moms took a liking to this song, and they have dance classes for this. The Soldier Boy craze. Kind of like the Macarena.
Oh.
Yeah. And I remember telling my conservative friend.
Ow, my spleen.
And I remember telling my conservative friend, I said, you know, because he's not very big on pop culture. He just likes talking about making money. But anyways, I told him, I said, have you heard of this clown named Soldier Boy? And he's like, yeah, I'm sorry to say that I have. And I was like, wow. And he's like, yeah, my wife dragged me to one of those dance recitals. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. That must have killed you. Then, of course, I really pushed it on him because he's a conservative going to a damn Soldier Boy dance recital.
Oh.
And I was like, man, I would never go to that crap.
I am so not going to listen to that.
Yeah, you shouldn't. I mean, even Maine, which is like...
Even in Maine, yeah.
Even Maine, 5 or 6 months behind, we're playing this Drek still. I heard it in the car just outside my window... 2 nights ago, I could just tell by 2 notes, and I was like, "Oh my God!"
I can name that Drek in 2 notes.
But even that song cannot touch the corrosiveness and the sheer evil vile that is the new Kid Rock single.
See the thing, you're making it far too appealing because it's like. It's like the ads for the old horror movies that are probably a little bit before you, David. Where at the end, no one will be admitted after the first 5 minutes.
I mean, he did it so bad. I mean, I would understand if you had something new to bring to Werewolves of London, but it's like he took the intro, dun 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 dun. He just took that and then he just had his band play that, and then for some reason, on the chorus, he just goes.
Dun, 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 oh. Oh, David.
I'm tempted to go to all the Warren Zevon sites and just see what their reaction is.
Oh, just go. Yeah, go post something on the Warren Zevon MySpace page. The horror. Oh.
But here's the thing that's interesting to me. How is it that... Now, this brings an interesting interesting political debate. Now, does the Zevon family own their catalog?
I'm not sure how much of it, but some.
Because I have to tell you, Bob, I'm not the type that would... I'm not the type that's losing my mind over that, but if I was one of the Zevon kids, or if I was... I forget his son's name.
Oh, I do,
he
too.
He turns on the radio, and he hears this...
Right into the phone pole.
I know, but... No. The problem with it to me is the fact that, well, it, doesn't seem like it would be authorized. It almost seems like Kid Rock just said, wonder if I can get away with it.
Yeah, but yeah, look, I mean, there's a long, dirty history of this. You remember Vanilla Ice saying, no, no, no. Under Pressure goes dum 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 da lum dum, and ours goes dum 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 da lum dum.
Yeah, but he had to pay, and then also Suge Knight made him drink some urine. So, you know, it all justice gets served once in a while, Bob.
Yeah, that's one of those God bless Suge Knight's kind of moments.
Now, speaking of, before I go, you know, the one thing that Kmart got wrong on the abstinence pants.
Absolutely.
But they didn't even have to do that. They could just go and just go to Oakland, California, knock on the door of an ex superstar and say, "Mr. Hammer, could we have your genie pants?"
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, the crab dancing pants.
I know. Could we have those? Because we have a new abstinence line, and man, would you be saving us some time on putting this together? So, you know, I just want to leave people with that little note, and also...
Which way? Another lifted hook!
I'm going to post a video, because here's my idea of it. I want to get people so enraged that they create a violent protest, that they create waves of violence across the country. Just in they're not sure why they're angry. They just know it when they hear it, not because they're Zevon fans.
Yeah,
make Zevon happy.
Yeah, save your rotten vegetables for when the Kid Rock comes to town. I get it.
Yeah.
David, I got to roll along, brother, but...
But before I go,
yeah.
The Al Green album is out, and everyone should get it. Lay It Down on Blue Note Records. Go get it, and you should plug it too, Bob.
All right, will do. Take care,
right,
David.
Later.
Bye now.
Bye.
Oh, that makes my liver quiver. And let's go to Nick. Hey, Nick, welcome to the program.
Hey, what's going on?
I don't know it. How about you?
I live in Mississippi.
Okay.
And, you know, and I'm an avid listener, and just want to say hi. And, you know, about the casino stuff, I mean, we all know that, you know, it makes poor people poor, and they're supposed to be giving money back for the educational system. But
I noticed you used the word supposed to be.
Pardon me?
I said I noticed you used the word supposed to be getting the money back for education.
Right. Correct. So anyway, but you know, we're not a great state as far as employment goes. So they do generate some income for poor people down here.
Yeah,
I do. You know, getting that.
But it's undeniable that there are still people who have not been served, who are still suffering from the after effects of Katrina, right?
Oh, certainly. I was on a mission trip with my church, and Bay St. Louis looks just about as bad as it did when it happened.
Yeah, nothing any different, right? And you know, from Bay St. Louis, past Christiane, you know, Biloxi, Pascagoula, all of that, it was underserved from the very beginning, incompetently served.
Oh, certainly. You know, I'm a yellow dog Democrat, or, you know, people say blue dog, you know, but I'm a little bit older than those people, so I'll go with yellow dog.
I'm a yellow dog, too, because I'll vote for an old yellow dog if he's on the Democratic ticket.
And it's, we did elect this guy, Travis Childers, to our House of Representatives.
Right.
You know, and he was Democratic. And so it looks like we're trying to go for a change, you know, so it's not.
Well, the guy who's running to hang on to Trent Lott's Senate seat's got a bit of a contest on his hands, right?
Right. Right. I'm sorry, it was the Senate seat, yeah.
Yeah, that presents real hope, and, the congressional election that took place not too awfully long past, that presents hope, but somewhere along the way it's the 80 acres on the waterfront that kind of ran right through me, because that's just begging that's begging for disaster.
Oh gosh, you haven't. I mean, I've seen, I live here in Batesville, Mississippi, which is about 50 miles south of Memphis. And so, you know, we have Tunica right 50 miles.
Oh, gosh, yes, I've been to Tunica.
And so, anyway, I used to serve for my dad. My dad was an attorney and former governor of the state, Cliff Inch. And I remember when it was Sugar Ditch, and I used to serve subpoenas over there. And they don't have those conditions over there anymore. So at least they're doing something right.
Yeah, they are. But the question it's a question of degree, isn't it?
Right.
And you know the next question I have is, assuming that Barack Obama is the Democratic presidential nominee, does he have a chance in Mississippi? Against, say, McCain.
He has a bigger chance down here. I mean, you know, we are kind of backwoods people. We're, you know, behind the times. So.
I understand.
Not me. No.
Believe me. I know exactly. It's. I hate to revert to a cliche, but it's a Southern thing.
It's a good old boy system that's slowly, and I mean fighting, getting out of it.
Yeah.
Out of the system. And it won't let go of it.
Movement is glacial in nature in terms
right,
of speed.
Right.
Yeah.
And we just, like I said, we're big fans of you. I hope you're feeling better. And
getting
like
some
from hydrocodone.
Yeah. I'm so leery of that stuff, but it was the only thing that was standing between me and just, you know, howling. I'm really glad to hear from you. Chime in anytime, and you know. I know northern Mississippi because I used to make the run between Florence and Memphis quite often, and of course.
Oh, so you know it quite well, then.
Oh yeah, I mean, I go back to the day when the four lane of Highway 72 went to two lane at the Mississippi line, and it was that way all the way to Germantown.
Right, right. Well, you know, you definitely have a history, man.
Oh yeah, I've run around. I had a buddy that did some running around Oxford when he was in law school there, and had pals in the archaeology program over at Starkville, so made the run that way too. Yeah, I've been around a little bit in that neck of the woods.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you are, I hate to use the term, but you are an old Alabama boy. So.
I am that.
So, but it's great talking to you too, and I'll chime in, but I just felt like I had to say something because I am in Mississippi.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I want to know. First and foremost is, you know, To what degree are we willing to hold ourselves responsible for making things better?
True. I mean, you know, you can do the best you can, but, you know, unfortunately, we live in a republic instead of a democracy, and, you know, it's the powers that be that dictate what's going to happen.
And you're not talking about anything that's any different than it was 150, 200 years ago, frankly, Nick.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, and that's not to say, and that's not limited to Mississippi or Alabama. I mean, that's the power structure in West Virginia, Virginia, and most of the country, for that matter.
How true.
And there are, when we talk about the word change, I was supposed to have David Sirota on the program last week. Unfortunately, everything happened that happened. I hope to get him on yet to talk about his new book, Uprising. And he's documenting some of the change. And how it's happening in it, and he notes that it's not organized, it's not centralized, it's very loose, but he sees, you know, he sees where it is taking place and it is taking shape, and he gives a reason for hope, and so do, you know, so do elections in places like Mississippi or seeing seeing Democrats unseat Republicans in a place, you know, in a diehard Republican district in Louisiana. That is hopeful stuff.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Well, Nick, good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. But you just take care of yourself, and like I said, don't try to take too many of those hydrocodones.
Oh, I keep them at more than arm's length distance. Trust me.
All right.
All right.
You take care. It's good talking to you.
Good talking to you too, Nick. Bye now.
All right. We'll see you later.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Love hearing from folks that we don't always hear from. That was Nick calling from Mississippi. And we'll keep it rolling on. Our good buddy Albert is with us from Wisconsin. Hey, Albert, welcome aboard.
Hey, Bob, how are you doing?
I ain't 100%, but I'm not at zero either.
That
that's good. That relieves me. I've been thinking about you and Agnes and all that stuff. And I mean, granted, I've been checking the site. Saw you're off burning. Using electricity, basically using pieces of West Virginia to fill a 600 acre coal ash dump they want to build in my county, probably about 10 miles up the road from me.
Well, that just sounds like a great idea.
Doesn't it? I what I'm thinking is, I mean, 600 acres, it's supposed to be pretty deep and all sorts of stuff. 600 acres is quite a bit. And I'm wondering how many mountains or how much of a mountain could fit into that. I mean, once you burn it to, you know, the most toxic ash and...
Oh, that's probably, you know, that's probably, let's see, 600 acre, big hole. Yeah, it's probably 10 or 15,000 acres.
Yeah, that's a big, oh, I'll tell you, but the good thing...
So what, they just want to dump it? I mean, what, and why you?
Yeah, here's what's going on. I live, and, you know, like, I essentially live in the West Virginia of Wisconsin. It's the poorest county in the state. We don't have any major cities. We have some windmill farms, which is nice, because we do live in this driftless region, meaning that the glaciers never came through. And so we got some really nice land here, and it's real pretty, and it's kind of it's mountainous for Wisconsin. So what happens is, the thing is the types of people who kind of gravitate towards this area, is it's a bunch of hippie radicals and me and whatever I am, and there's a lot of people like that, and there's some normal, I guess, aka normals, in quotes. But what happens is the people here are a little bit aware. So we have been tooth and nail fighting. I mean, they've had meetings so large with Dairyland Power, who what they want to do is they just want to burn more coal instead of, you know, other things. So they want to spend all this money and steal all this land from farmers and put this, I mean, toxic waste dump.
Yeah, let's call it what it is.
The thing is, and this is what I'm saying, is the area we live in is kind of like West Virginia, where you guys are the headwaters for all the water. We're also, in that respect, that we have some nice little creeks that go through here, and we're like an organic triangle. If you ever go look in some of the organic regions in Wisconsin and Minnesota, and this area where we live is like organic land. So what happens to this is we've been fighting it, so now they're on hold. So this is good news. Now it's good news. They're on hold. They're probably going to keep it up, but I'll tell you what, the people in this area ain't going to be putting up with that, and I think that's good news. I think it's good. Maybe it'll save your land, too, because we'll stop burning this stuff. We'll start putting the solar panels. I was actually just speaking. Another reason I called, as you can tell, I'm a little bit charged up today.
That's okay.
Another reason I called is I was talking with beekeepers in my area. I know we've touched on the subject. You've talked about it, but sometimes it's a national news, but they don't really talk about it. I mean, we're talking about most of that nonsense. But the bees is a serious thing. And if you like to eat fruit and, you know, vegetables and stuff like that, that need them to pollinate. I talked to them, and in my area, thankfully, it's not so bad. But here's what I found out, and this is going to save some money for people and some, you know, maybe put a little work on you, but this is fine. Dandelions. People spraying the broadleaf. They were trying to do that in my area, and I made them stop. And I said, just don't worry about it. I'll handle it. I'll mow it. Of course, I'll mow it once the dandelions go to seeds. And I don't know. I just always figured I'd let them grow, let them do their thing. Sorry about the siren.
That's okay.
Anyhow, I figured I'd let them do their thing, and I found out today that bees, the queens need the protein that comes from the dandelion. There's something sort of chemical, the way it's
No kidding.
The way the molecule is built, it needs the dandelion protein, and it triggers it to start laying eggs. So we're seeing bee collapse at the same time that I hope that what this gives us, it gives people, is that we could see this cycle in action. You know, we sit here, people don't want dandelions in their lawn, so they spray and kill them all. Okay, now the bees got no food, they don't got the right protein that they need.
Can't reproduce, yeah.
Reproduce, exactly, and, you know, next thing you know, now we don't have enough quiet, now we don't have enough, you know, food and so forth, and then we die. Just because somebody don't like the yellow puffball.
Yeah,
because
some...
What
little kid has, I mean, what, it's charming when the little, you know, 3-year-old tyke comes up with her dandelion and rubs it under your chin, you know.
Exactly, yeah. My babies, they this spring they had, their whole lips and their nose was all yellow because they was running around smelling. Dandelions don't smell like anything to me or you, but to the bees, you know, they can smell a flower, a dandelion flower 5 miles away.
which is, you know.
And it smells like heaven.
It smells like heaven to them, and you know, they need it. And this is how this whole thing works. And this is, you know, we're a big cycle, a big connection, just as Wisconsin. I mean, I think that's ironic. I never really even paid attention to it until you really brought the whole subject to my, my eyes. I didn't realize that here in my town, right now, me talking to you on the phone, I'm burning West Virginia.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. And now I see what I've done to West Virginia, and I feel guilty about it. Now, I might be a little bit of a bleeding heart, you know, call me whatever, but, you know, at the same time, you know, we can see where the bees are in a connection, where we're in a connection, and we can all sit here, and when we get Barack Hussein Obama as president, okay, I got to add the same.
Oh, yeah, I know.
President, we can ride him, okay, and get him to do the things that we need, like a solar panel initiative on every roof of every house that faces the South in the country. You know, we already have tax breaks for it. Let's make a bigger tax break for it in terms of encouraging people to buy at them so they come down in price. You know what I'm saying? While we have this oil, and we're still on coal, and we got to get off of it somehow, but, you know, it's good. We're going to need some coal, or we're going to need some gas to take that next step off, but we got to take the step off because this, you know, this merry-go-round is going to grind to a halt. I mean, nobody wants that, you know. Think about it. We don't got, you know, let your dandelions grow. Eat your dandelions, you know.
Now, see, I was going to mention that.
Yeah.
If you go to a really swank, hoity-toity restaurant and you buy one of those $25 salad bowls with the raspberry herbal oil vinaigrette walnut confluence, they're going to bring you a bowl of dandelion greens and shredded poke leaves and a little bit of baby arugula and some sort of the funky-looking stuff with different colors, and you're going to say, man, this is some high-eating.
Mm-hmm.
And most of it's going to be available in your backyard.
Exactly. But no, you got to eat it. No, but you can't eat the stuff in your backyard because you sprayed it and it's full of poison.
Well, yeah, there's that. And, you know, you mentioned... It's so frustrating to me. To the same extent that a 14-year-old from Texas can say that George Bush is an embarrassment to him, it's embarrassing to me as an American, Albert, to look over across the pond and see that Germany just looked up and went, oh, well, I see now. It is abundantly clear that the herbicides and the pesticides that we have been using on our crops are damaging the beehives. We will not allow them to be used anymore, never, no more, okay. Got it?
Yep.
Yeah, gut.
Yep.
And it's boom, the crap's gone.
Yep.
Now, if something like that was to be proposed here in America, we'd have to have 6 weeks of congressional hearings.
Oh, yeah.
Followed by hand-wringing, pearl-clutching pesticide industry lobbyists standing in front of Fox and CNN cameras. This is obvious. Liberals love their dandelions and their little bees more than they love America. Why do the liberals hate America? We need pesticides. And you know what? Any attempt to ban that crap would be defeated. And it would be that thing at in the Casablanca where you. I'm shocked to find that there's gambling going on here. You're winning, so oh, thank you. Yeah, as the little bag of money gets handed to the Congress people.
That's beautiful. That's a beautiful picture right there. That's it. That's it, Bob. That's it in a nut. There ain't no doubt about it. I'm serious.
And you know, you guys, you're in Wisconsin. You don't have, you know, you got all that organic going on. What the hell kind of organic do you think you've got, Albert? If you don't have a little mercury in it. Mercury's organic, too. It exists in the earth. What are you, a snob?
Carbon. It's what life is.
You know, I wasn't doing so good last week, but I thought of you, and I just laughed out loud, because one of the few things that I could have on the clear liquid diet was a sports beverage.
Ah.
And I said, and Agnes brings it in, and I'm in bed, and she hands it to me. I said, it's what I need.
It's got electrolytes.
It's got electrolytes. Then she just looks at me like I'm crazy. I went, Brondo! And then she broke up. But why do you need it, Bob? Because I crave it. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? It's what Bob craves.
It's what Bob craves.
Yeah, boy, you know it. I'm telling you. And that's, you know, people, it's like an underground film, and that's like part of the whole thing of consciousness. That's where we're at. Look, I just wanted to put that out there. So now everybody can call their little local, when they're talking about the garden show on their local national public radio station, you know, when they're sitting there talking about that, you can call them up and just, you know, you never know who's listening to that stuff. I'm listening to it, you know. I mean, sometimes, you know, you never know who's listening to that kind of stuff, and you might, you know, make an impact. I'm already thinking billboards. I mean, because you think about, you know, honeybees, that's an important thing. It's real important. And I don't fully agree with Einstein when he said it, but it's got a major point. You know, Einstein said what?
When the bees are gone, so are we. Yeah.
Yeah. 4 years later, we'll be extinct too. Now, I think we got corn and we got, you know, hemp and we got other products we can eat that we can feed the cows, and we still have our ribeyes and stuff. You know, we can't... Don't be messing with that, but I know, Bob. I'm sorry. But
didn't have to say anything, did I?
I'm sorry. I felt it, but, you know, I just had to. Anyway.
Yeah, we can have our ribeyes, not you, Bob.
Yeah, here you go, Bob. Here's some Rondo.
it's what Bob craves.
It's what Bob craves. He don't need the ribeye. But, or the porterhouse. And, sorry. Right, I'll stop. You know, I was thinking, you know, what we need to be doing is we need to be, you know, you never know. I'm gonna go call up, and I'm going to be a lobbyist. But I'm going to be a private lobbyist. Nobody's going to be paying me. I'm going to call my local billboard sign guy. And I'm going to just use all my skills that I had in order to get through to CEOs when I was selling stock. I mean, I made over a thousand phone calls a day, and I would have to get through secretary after secretary after secretary after sometimes layers of secretaries to kind of get to the guy so I can give him my pitch. Now, I'm going to use that. Now, I'm a stay-at-home dad, you know, this and that, and I've rejected that kind of lifestyle, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to use my mouth. And I'm going to call up these local guys. I'm just going to say that to them. I mean, have you ever heard Einstein this and that and that? Okay, great. I already talked to some local beekeepers, this and this and this, and I'd just like to see if you would donate some science to educate people, because this is the problem, is people don't get educated.
Exactly.
I mean, where can you catch them? I mean, granted, billboards is a dying end because, as you know, there ain't gonna be no, you know, people driving around very much once gas hits $7 a gallon until we start liquefying coal, and maybe it'll...
Yeah, then we'll hit the road again.
Yeah, in the oil shale, you got to get that going too, because, you know. Did you even know this? I don't know if you knew this or not. You know when they talk about sweet crude and how we know that that's running out, you know?
Yeah, light sweet crude.
Light sweet crude's going bye-bye because even Kuwait gas is almost $1 now a gallon, where it used to be like 7 cents for like last year. Anyway, what happened is the when they talk about sour and when they talk about anything else that's not a sweet crude, like your what you can extract in terms of gasoline, usable fuel that comes out of that, I mean, it goes down less and less and less and less and less. I mean, you get down to sour, instead of getting 40% gasoline, you're getting like 32% gasoline.
Yeah, but, and you've got to fracture it a lot harder, if I understand the science correctly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's harder to, you know, it's just harder to crack. You got to cook it longer. You got to spend more energy into doing it. It's the same thing, you know, with this tar sands and all this other stuff. And, you know, these people, they just got to wake up, man. We can't be sitting there. And this is how are bees going to help this? This is how bees can help this. Because where do you think they're getting the chemicals to make this broadleaf killer? You know, where do you think they're getting it from?
Oh, sure.
Exactly. So this is something that we need to go, okay, people stop. I mean, you know, and plus not only that, these pesticides give kids cancer. These pesticides are killing your kids. You can't even walk on your grass. Your dog can't.
Oh, look, go to the store and buy a bottle of Roundup. It comes with something about the thick. It comes with a little booklet that's sort of glued to the label that you open. And it's about the thickness of, you know, something by Dostoevsky.
Yeah, I know.
It's slightly less readable. But it includes things like do not inhale fumes.
Yeah. You know,
do not allow to touch exposed skin. And of course, this stuff is like uber concentrated, so that you're mixing it in your spray jug. And inevitably, you're out there and you're spraying the poison stuff and you're trying to get rid of the poison ivy and the wild blackberries and the multiflora rose and yada, yada, yada. And a nice breeze always comes along and blows it, you know, because you pump and you pump and you pump and you...
Yep.
And a nice breeze comes along and blows it back in your face.
Yep.
And you're thinking, oh, this is going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Or if you had a drink, if you have a nice tall glass of iced tea, oh, a couple droplets fall in the iced tea. Yum, yum, yum.
It's got electrolytes.
Yeah, got electrolytes now, baby. Now you're on. I mean, but this is, I mean, and this is where we're at. And this is, I believe that we're coming up to this juncture. I just believe this. You could call it wacky dude or what have you. I believe we're coming up to this paradigm shift. And I believe this. I believe that the future that was envisioned even 5 years ago is not going to be what we're going to be facing with. I really do believe that there will be an upswell of just people waking up. Just, you know, it takes one a day turned into two a day and four a day. And, you know, and that's how I look at it, Bob. You've done your part to change the world by, you know, doing everything that you've done and sacrificing everything you've sacrificed. And I try to do my part and talk to people and, you know, make them think I'm a crazy lunatic. I don't care. I mean, give me the sandwich board signs and, you know, I'll give you the end is nigh. I mean, if that's what you want, but that isn't where we have to be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I do.
West Virginia doesn't have to be a crater. I mean, man, I still like it. I've been showing people that, you know, and I'm glad that you exposed me to that. I've been showing people that and trying to show the connection between our local consumption here.
Oh, the handiest tool in the world, Albert, is over there at ILoveMountains.org, where all you do is pop your zip code in and you go, oh, I'm not connected to mountaintop removal, and you hit enter and it goes, yes, you are.
Yeah, you are. Bad.
And it'll show you a direct line between your power company and the mountaintop removal job.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And, you know, I'm one of those kind of people that I'd rather steep myself in, you know, guilt and expose myself to that. And I can do that and see my impact that I'm having on your town.
And but, you know, arguably in a place that has as much progressive content as Wisconsin does, you've probably got provisions within your public service commission that allows you to at least buy some green energy.
Oh, we certainly do. We have a giant windmill farm, and you know.
Now remember, but remember, here in West Virginia, we're not allowed. Thou shalt burn coal.
Yeah, and this is another thing, and this is going to tie into bees too. And we can talk about this in terms of coal. I mean, this is one of these things. It's always an economic thing. I even thought of this when the guy was up here trying to spray my privet hedges, and I didn't know what he was doing. And I'm like, excuse me, what are you doing? You know, like, can I ask, you know, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm spraying broadleaf. I'm like, oh, well, what, for dandelion? I'm like, can you not spray? You know, can you not spray this yard? Please, you know, don't do this. And he kind of was like, because I understand that the guy doesn't, you know, he didn't grow up wanting to be a, you know, dandelion murderer or genocidist or whatever you call it. You know, he just wants to make his money.
Yeah.
And it's not people that want to burn coal. They just want to make some money. So what do we got to do? We got to tell President Barack Hussein Obama that we need to start making windmill factories in West Virginia, that we need to make these things in Detroit.
Yeah.
We need to make these things where we can, and we need to start more. We need, like, bigger than it took, you know, the workforce of Roosevelt. We need a giant, we need to change our infrastructure, like, now. Not tomorrow, not the next day, not right now. I mean, this is not the time, people, like, they just want to go to bed, and they want to wake up and tomorrow, it's even worse. It's like, how long would you stay in your house when it's on fire? And you're going to keep hitting the snooze alarm and keep hitting, no, eventually it's going to get to this breaking point. And, you know, Simple, I mean, that's the whole thing. You were gone that week. Simple Scotty did his little dance number.
Yeah.
Showed us how, what? Thank you. Yeah, we've been right. Yeah, thank you. We knew that.
Yeah, thanks for the validation, Scott. You know, and of course the right wing is losing their minds and you know it's bad when they drag out Bob Dole to call him names.
Oh, I thought he was dead. I'm sorry.
Bob Dole, like, welcome to Walmart.
The
irony is completely lost on these people. What did Bob Dole say? People who leave public office and then they go out and try to make money off of things.
Mm-hmm.
Don't I remember a Viagra ad?
Doritos.
Yeah, Doritos. Sure.
man. This is, but yeah, these people are, they're out of their mind. And this is the thing. And you know, this is another thing that blew my mind. This, you know what? And I think I know, I think you will see the angle that I'm coming from with this. Where's Dunkin' Donuts?
Oh, I missed that one too, and I was crying over that one because I just, I wanted to have a full on hissy over that.
Yeah. Where are these people?
But okay, you know, time, stop. Let's start this thing from an appropriate moment, Albert.
Okay.
First of all, I was ready to throw bricks at the television screen every time I heard celebrity chef Rachel Ray. You can call her anything. Call her celebrity cook Rachel Ray. Celebrity foodista Rachel Ray. Don't call that woman a chef. She ain't no chef, but that's because I'm a follower of Tony Bourdain, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's not a chef.
No.
So she shows up in this ad, and it's such a cheesy ad. It's obviously, you know, shot in front of one of those Olin Mills backdrops, right? Yeah, I'm surprised there wasn't a wagon wheel involved, for God's sakes.
A cactus.
Yeah, I mean, so she's standing, and she's got this scarf. And, you know, yeah. I did the click and the save, and then I enlarged it in the... And it's Paisley! It's Paisley, for the love of all that's holy.
Oh, yeah.
And Michelle Malkin, it's Jihad Chic. I mean, does this mean that if I have a red checkered tablecloth in my house, I'm a mafiosi now?
Yeah, exactly. What is, you know, we're going to go further. I want to go further on that line, but I just got to say something. It's like, are they going after Rachel Ray because, Cindy McCain steals recipes from her or something? That's the mentality.
Ah, vengeance is mine.
Getcha. I got to getcha, you know?
I hadn't thought about that angle. I thought maybe they were going after her because, you know, she was made by Oprah.
Well,
Oprah just plucked her up and turned her into something. You know, before that, she was just prattling all over the Food Network going, and then we'll put some EVOO on. You know, EVOO, that's what I call extra virgin olive oil. How cool is that? No, really.
All right, now let's go back to the line like that we were on. I mean, since when it's like, since when does it matter? I mean, wait, coffee. Don't we get like the way a lot of people make coffee, that's kind of Arabic and math. I mean, you know, we're going to start fighting against math because that's Islamic, and then they did all these wonderful things with
I
math.
Wish Michelle Malkin had been around when I was taking algebra in high school. Maybe I could have got out of an F. Oh, I'm sorry. That's jihadi math.
I know.
But, you know, our buddy Eugene Finnerman over at FinnermanWorks.com, he took this on straight up and said, the sight of Rachel Ray in a Paisley scarf apparently is an endorsement of terrorism. Dunkin' Donuts is acknowledged as much by and that's the part that kills me. Corporate America withdrew the ad. Withdrawing an ad featuring Ms. Ray in her Chic of Araby. C-H-I-C. God, Eugene's funny. Knowing the intellectual standards of advertising, if there were a subliminal message in the scarf, it would be kafia. Coffee, yeah.
Yeah.
But he notes the danger is far greater than just a scarf. Coffee is an Arabic word. Yes, like any terrorist, Kawa has disguised its real identity by passing itself off under a false name, the Italianized cafe. Generations of Americans have been addicted to this Arabic drug, and recent demographic studies have revealed what must be Kawa's insidious effects. Americans are becoming smaller and darker. He says, I can personally attest to looking Semitic. Our national survival demands that we stop drinking Kawa. Without having to acknowledge that the American Revolution was a mistake, we could resume drinking tea. But tea is a Chinese word, and that nation's not exactly trustworthy either. Milk might seem wholesome, but it is dangerously similar to the Iranian word melk. Perhaps we should adapt the habits of our founding fathers. John Adams, Ben Franklin, and Button Gwinnett drank hard cider and ale for breakfast. Washington could afford wine. Of course, we cannot endorse alcohol as our national beverage, if only because alcohol is another Arabic word. But there's nothing subversive about the Dutch word booze.
That's but awesome.
Since when did the right wing get advertising conscious? And the lovely part was whoever the internet genius was who found that photograph of Michelle Malkin sitting next to a red houndstooth upholstered couch, a terrorist kafia couch. I mean, how screwed up are these people? They're blaming weaving patterns now.
But now, hey, you see this freedom fries?
Yeah.
It's the same type of mentality. And this is why the
Yeah, another thing that's off my diet, the freedom fries.
Yeah. What about fried cheese curds?
Yeah, sorry, out.
Sorry.
No, but I can have all the damn dandelions I want to eat, Albert. I want to tell you that.
I'll tell you what, you should. They're not bad. You
they're
know?
Delicious.
Yeah, they might not be worth $25, but I'll tell you what, it'd be healthy for you. It's very good for you. I mean, all I'm going to say is that you can buy dandelion extract in the vitamin aisle of your local co-op. You know, you can sit there and go up there and dandelion extract, $10.99. It's like, whoa, these are in my yard. I can wash them, dry them, chop them up, put them in a little gel cap, and, I mean, I don't know about you, but...
Screw that. Put a little bit of hot oil on them and let them wilt in the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
No, Agnes took the hot oil away, too. Damn it.
Hemp oil. You need hemp oil. That's what you need. It's good for you. You don't even got to make it hot. All the essential fatty acids, perfect. All the HHA, EFA, and the other one, real good for you. But, you know, this is, it's been an interesting week. You got Bush doing sword fight and chest dumping with Kadesh.
Yeah, there's that too. Thank you.
Well, we missed a bunch, Bob.
Oh, I did. I turned my back, and you know that he's doing flying chest bumps with graduating Roger Ramjets. And the thing, but again, you got to kind of go behind the picture, because the Secret Service doesn't let stuff like that just happen. It was pre-planned, Albert. It was pre-planned. Yeah. And sir, this is the student that you will do the flying chest bump with. You know what?
Yep.
If I don't care if I'm a lifer at the Secret Service, if I ever get to the point where I have to look at the president and say, and this is the part where you do the flying chest bump, turn the papers in and, you know, go find a job at a 7-Eleven or something. Because at that point...
Bob. Doesn't Air Force One have a kitchen on it?
It does. It's got a gourmet kitchen.
Couldn't this dirty bastard have gotten a turkey when he was in the country and cooked it on the way over instead of bringing a rubber one? Rubber turkeys, Bob. Rubber turkeys.
Rubber turkeys. Yes.
Rubber
turkeys. Yeah, I know.
Rubber turkey.
And see, everybody saw the flying chest bump. Which was, I mean, it was just kind of pitiful because, he looked like he was constricted with his little black overcoat on and stuff. It was just sad. But the photo that other people didn't see was him bending over doing the 12-ounce curl thing. You know, the bicep flexing. Yeah, there was more than, he made an ass of himself more than once.
Oh, don't tell me these things.
Yeah, he's sort of bent over side by side with this graduating air cadet, and they're both doing the parallel bent elbow curl, and they're making their ugly face. You know what I mean?
Well, hey, he works out. So I mean, he does work out 9 hours a day. You know, he can sacrifice that instead of golf. You know, but he's got to show us something that he's doing to support the troops, you know.
Oh, yeah, everything happened. You know, I can't tell you the number of nights that I fire up the microphone going, dull day. And then I'm gone for 1 week and the whole world just goes, poof.
Yeah.
the curls, chest bumps, Rachel Ray, Scott McClellan's little book, you know, oh, how nice. He's going to donate some proceeds to Iraq vets. You know, if he really wanted to do something for the Iraq vets, I mean, I halfway agree with Bob Dole, and boy, does that sound funny coming out of my mouth.
What's going on?
When you see this stuff and it goes against your grain, and you realize that you're engaged in active immorality.
Yeah.
Then a man stands up, or a true human stands up,
mm-hmm.
and says, "I don't want anything to do with this. I am out the door." And then you go out and you stand on the sidewalk and scream.
Yep.
Or you go to, right. or you go and you say it on Fox News and you watch Bill O'Reilly's little head explode.
Mm-hmm. But you know, he's not. He's what's known as one of them. He's a tick. You know, he's a, you know, politics, you know, the Latin, you know, poly meaning many and ticks meaning blood-sucking creatures. Well, he's one of those type of creatures. So he won't do that. I mean.
Well, but I don't know what they had on him, Albert, because did you notice that of everybody chiming in on this, eventually there had to be a comment from Jeff Gannon, Talon News.
Exactly.
I think I knew Scott better than anyone in that room. Oh, really, Jeff? Tell us why.
Yeah, Jeff. How does that work, Jeff? Did he give you gifts for your time? Did he like to buy you gifts? Jeff?
Did he find you at hotmilitarystudsforyou.com? I personally don't think that... I don't think Jeff Gannon and Scott McClellan and a few other folks were wearing their abstinence pants.
I agree. I tell you what, every time I hear Jeff Gannon, I mean, I don't even think it's a solo. I don't even think it's a solo thing. I think it's pass him. He's the party keg, you know. Pass him around the party. That's what I think Jeff Gannon was. You know, that's why they knew him so well. Bush called on him. Carl called on him. Rumsfeld would call anybody who, you know, he'd be everywhere. He's the miracle man. He's at the White House at 10 o'clock at night and doesn't check out. You know, come on. You know, he's...
It was the Jeff Motel. Jeff checks in and he doesn't check out.
Yeah, but we got to hear about Monica. I am actually, you know, I am straight, but I'm kind of more interested that we'd be listening. I mean, imagine paying attention to Jeff Gannon as much as they did Monica.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, Bob, not for nothing. I hope it happens fast. I mean, you know, I think if we go into Iran, which is what, you know, they've been really, really trying to do, and they keep trying harder every day. I think if we do wind up going there, I think that might be just the straw that breaks the camel's back, and I think we might get what we should have had 7 years ago, which is a nice impeachment hearing and get rid of...
I'm one of those weirdos who says it's never too late.
It's never too late. I mean, even...
Maybe it's because of my Southern Baptist upbringing, but it's never too late.
Well, you can try them after, right? This one, you know, this is something. If anybody has any sway out there or anybody wants to write a letter, you should go write a letter to the crew of the... Get a hold of somebody in the office of, you know, the next president of America, you know, Barack Hussein Obama. And you got to say that with pride. You got to say it with pride. I think that's going to be so funny. That's just going to be so funny. I think just the whole fact that the majority of Americans outside of West Virginia and some other places are going to, you know, that doesn't bother them too much. And I think that'll be a funny life. That'd be a big Band-Aid, I think, to our destructive last 8 years. I think it'll be a nice, at least it'll be one of them colorful little Band-Aids like you put on a kid's knee and takes all the pain away. You know, and I think by electing this man president, another thing we're going to need to make sure is, I don't care how customary it is, this whole practice of pardoning. Like, we can't let Barack Hussein Obama pull Gerald Ford.
No more preemptive pardons.
I don't
want to hear that at the time, you know, our long national nightmare is finally over and it's time for us to move forward.
Yeah.
Because the way we move forward is by rectifying past crimes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, World War II, right? We fought it for Nuremberg.
Yeah.
Fought it to bring those people to justice, didn't we? That's right. You know,
that's what
we've been taught. So, I mean, yeah, we can't let the guy slide. We can't. Well, I'll tell you what, Bob. I think I really, this is sad to say. I'm going to say it. I don't care. You know me. I think what's going to happen, I think our economic situation and everything else is going to be so bad that he there's a reason. And I think you know, there's a reason he's got this giant ranch in Paraguay.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, check and see if Paraguay has a real nice extradition treaty with the United States. The answer would be, I'm betting 90% no.
Yeah. I mean, you got that kind of money and power and stealing as much as these people have stolen. I mean, you could get that stuff donated, too. You might as well. You better have it, you know. I mean, why would you be an evil scientist and not have a submarine with an underwater base? You know, you're going to have something like that. Because that's what... Because they're going to... I'm telling you, pitchforks and... It's going to happen. It's sad and it's scary. But, you know, just like the Phoenix, you know, something will come out of it. Something good will come out of it. I mean, we've been fighting the Revolutionary War since it began, you know, and we're not the first country to fight it either, you know.
No.
We're not the last. You know, we haven't won it. It's not over. You know, it's not over when people that can pull the kind of money together and power that they could just rule us by, you know, coercive psychological, all this. You know, what are they talking about? Scott McKellen comes out, and all of a sudden the press is like, well.
Well, see, at the same time that we got Scott McKellen out there.
Yeah.
I've got an interesting little thing from The Guardian in the UK. Headline. Now, this is just a little game. You know, you've heard it played before. It's called, Which is More Important? Scott McKellen says the Bush administration is full of screw-ups and crooks. That's choice A. Choice B, headline, U.S. accused of holding terror suspects on prison ships. Pick one. You know, me, I'm crazy. I say B.
Yeah. It's definitely B. It's without a doubt B. These people disappeared, Bob. They got to be somewhere. They're in international waters.
It is now verified that the United States has, and, you know, just rep, you know, you talk about there's no big cities in your county and all that stuff, and boy, do I get that, because there aren't any here either.
Mm-hmm.
It is verified that the United States has and has had, in secret detention, 26,000 members of the human race. 26,000, Albert.
Nah. That's bigger than...
That's half of my county. Or more.
Yeah, honestly, seriously, that's, yeah. I, the town I live in is 2,500. The biggest town next to me is 6,000, and I think we have another town that's maybe around 5,000. And then everything else is like 200 to 100, you know, things like... And then Amish.
Yeah.
Hey, I got one for you, and I know this is taking a little off topic, but you're exactly right. We're criminals, without a doubt. I was just thinking about this the other night, and it made me laugh. It woke me up. It made me laugh. Do you think the Amish? I don't know. You got an Amish out there, right?
No, they're more over into Ohio, but yeah.
Okay, all right. But you know, they do get away with a lot.
Oh, they get away with murder.
They get away with murder. If the Amish were black, would they get away with that?
The easy answer to that, not on your life.
You know, I just wanted to think about it. I like the Amish people, don't get me wrong. They drive past my house all the time in a little horse and buggy. It's really nice. My kids get to see it. They get all excited, and I like it. It's got a nice little feel to it.
Yeah, their little wagon wheels drive ruts in the asphalt in the summer when it's hot, and they don't have to pay taxes for their little tags on their wagons. And yeah, because they're special.
They all wear the same clothes, you know, and...
Yeah.
But, you know, still, I just was sitting there thinking about that, and they'd never get away with that. It would never happen. They'd be called terrorists. It'd be like...
First of all, it would be referred to as a cult.
Uh-huh.
Or a separatist sect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, look at, you know, they can't even talk in their own churches. I don't want to know who's filming, you know, not for nothing. Not that I disagreed. I've listened. When they come out with them news things about... What's going on down in Barack Obama's former church, or Barack Hussein Obama's former church?
Barack Obama breaks with church.
Yeah, you know, and
they ran a man out of his church, for God's sakes, Albert.
Exactly. What is up with that? You know, wait, isn't that the place where they're supposed to say these kinds of things? I don't see none of this stuff outrageous. Hillary Clinton's acting like that. She is acting like that. And, you know, it wasn't even a black man that said it. It was a white man that said it. All right? So, you know,
he's a crazy fringe lunatic priest.
Well.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I mean, these people just, this is the thing, though, and I don't think this stuff, and I know they're playing the game, but I don't think this stuff flies. You know, I don't think this stuff's going to fly, Bob. People aren't going to sit, I mean, you know, did you see, there's an interesting, it's a documentary, you should go check it out if you get a chance. You know, go on Nabalister, one of those underground sites, and go look up this, what is it, it's a sleep deprivation. There was a BBC did a study on this, where they deprive people of sensory stimulus for 48 hours. They repeat, like, and then they, you know, then they filmed them during this 48-hour period. And these people were losing they were normal people, and they were losing their minds.
Mm-hmm.
They were hallucinating. They were breaking down, crying, and, like, freaking out. I mean, they had all these different little setups for each little group.
Oh, I remember, like, remember the movie Altered States?
Oh, certainly, yeah, but that's different.
Yeah.
You volunteered for it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, exactly. Somebody, you pull someone, right, they get in the cab, oh, he's the wrong Mullah Akmar, whatever his name is, and boom, they grab him, duct tape him, boom, put him in a bag, fly him off to some boat, and let him sit in some prison that don't have no windows or doors, and they just play the same crappy music. They play Kid Rock over and over and over again. You know, and Limp Bizkit and all that other garbage.
And don't forget the theme from Barney. It's on the list, too, Albert. The theme from Barney.
Yeah, woo. I tell you what, right now, my kids only seen that maybe like twice.
Your kids have a leg up on a lot of humanity.
Oh, man. Daddy couldn't take it. Daddy will sing you songs, but I'll sing you goofy songs before I let you watch that garbage. But, you know, because, you know, I can't look at Barney without thinking of Depth of Smoochie.
Yeah, well, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, that's a great one. That's a good one. But, no, seriously. I mean, you know, they talk about, oh, waterboarding isn't torture. You damn well sure better bet your ass it's torture, because if someone was doing it
to waterboarding is so passe, it's now you realize that there's two different ways. I think I hit this in the last week before I was gone.
Yeah.
The water treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes it sound like somebody's dropping an iodine pill in a glass of water. No.
Filter and Brita. It's a Brita.
Yeah, it's a treatment. But and it's equally heinous and equally hateful, where they fill your mouth with the water and then punch you in the gut to make you inhale it.
Uh-huh. And And as sick as that is, who are the sick bastards that sit there and they got to make these names for them? That's what I want. Who the hell sits in a room and says, you know, all right, let's call this the treatment, and let's call this one the flower and blossom, and this one, you know.
And we'll call that one Brondo.
Yeah, we'll call this one Brondo, and this one Carl's Dream. I mean, seriously, though, where did they come up with this? That they can, I mean, and this is double talk. I mean, Bob, it's time. And Mike Malloy did it, and maybe you should too. Read 1984. Just read it. Get it out there over and over again. This is double plus good, baby. Come on now. Water treatment.
See, I think
water treatment?
I remember when Malloy did 1984, and I keep thinking every now and then that I ought to serialize Catch 22.
Mm.
Colonel Dreidel and Colonel Cathcart and General Peckham and the whole they're straight. They're the Bush administration. They are.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Albert, we've run up across the top of the hour. I need to take a quick break and maybe let a couple other people in if they want to join in. But, man, this has been fun.
Yes, it has. I'll call it over you later. I'm glad you're back. Give my love to everybody. And I'll talk with you later. You
all right, go play in the yard and tickle your kid's chin with a dandelion.
I will, buddy. You take care.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
That's our pal Albert in Wisconsin. I love our conversations. I truly do. I am going to take a little break, and I think our buddy David from Maine was right. A tribute is in order. Ellis Bates, also known as Ellis McDaniels, passed away today. 79 years old. Certainly not the greatest guitar player in the world. But man, he knew and he felt more for rhythm than just about anybody else around at that time or this. Tune's called Mona. You've heard the others, I'm sure, all day long in tributes. It's a real proof of his ability to make music reach inside and touch something that you didn't know was touchable. P.J. Harvey, among other people, always did Mona in her shows. P.J. Harvey. She first heard him as a cello student, and her life changed. In concerts, PJ says, when she introduced it, "I do this song to remind myself, Ms. Harvey, do not overthink this stuff." So, Ellis Bates, Ellis McDaniels, Bo Diddley. Rock on. This is The Horn, America's liberal voice.
Surely die.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All righty. Well, looks like we're doing 3 hours tonight after all. 13 minutes past the hour of 8 here on the East Coast. And your thoughts on any number of topics. See how it works. I was so glad that Albert brought up Rachel Ray, because of all the reasons to object to Rachel Ray using her scarf is probably the least of the problems. Woman doesn't tip, for starts. Anybody who's ever watched $40 a day knows that. Not tipping is really, really slimy. So that's, yeah, I'm glad Albert brought that up. And but, you know, there is some stuff that's a little bit more current and perhaps bears a little bit more of our attention than might be given elsewhere. The story that I mentioned in talking with Albert that just sort of crawls all over me, the one, the headline that I read in that sort of you pick A or B, which is important, Scott McClellan telling us that the barn is burning. You're right. That's A, and B, U.S. accused of holding terror suspects on prison ships. Yeah, U.S. accused of holding terror suspects on prison ships. You didn't just think that when the CIA got caught running their nasty little concentration camps in former Eastern European Soviet satellite states, that once they, you caught us, we got to stop now. Because, see, getting caught to this thuggish, criminal, monstrous gang that still has our country in its clutches, getting caught just means it's time to figure out a way to break the law differently. It doesn't dawn on them that it means it's time to stop breaking the law. It just means we got to find a different way to break it. If a law is a straight line, this crowd is into pretzel making. You know what I mean? The Guardian, in its article today, writes, "The United States is operating floating prisons to house those arrested in the war on terror. Human rights lawyers claim there has been an attempt to conceal the numbers as well as the whereabouts of the detainees." You might not, but this would break my father's heart. Lord, he loved the Navy. Details of ships where detainees have been held and sites allegedly being used in countries across the world have been compiled as the debate over detention without trial intensifies on both sides of the Atlantic. The U.S. government was urged yesterday to list the names and whereabouts of all those detained. It's going to be a long list. The information has broken through to the surface and had the light of day shine on it as a result of several different and varied sources, statements from the U.S. military, the Council of Europe, European parliamentary bodies, and, yes, prisoner testimony. Reprieve is a human rights organization, and they will publish the results of their analysis this year. They say that there have been more than 200 new cases of rendition since 2006, when George Bush said the practice had been stopped. Let that settle in. Since the day that George Bush said that there was no more rendition, it has happened 200 more times. As many as 17 different United States Navy vessels may have been used as floating prisons since 2001. First, the victims are interrogated, and, you know, it says here in the article, detainees. I hate that thin, sloppy, milquetoast English, detainees. A detainee is someone that you have and won't let go. It doesn't really have the verbal force of what's really those people's lot in life. It's, we have you, we're not letting you go, and we're going to torture you, and we're going to make you pray to whatever god you worship that we will let you die. Yeah. Because of the amount of time that I've spent in bed in the last week, I've had an opportunity to catch up on a little bit of viewing, and one of the things that I've watched, am watching, the HBO series from a couple of years ago called Rome. And yeah, it's a soap opera. But it's a pretty well done soap opera. It's enjoyable, engaging to watch. And it does bring out a couple of salient true facts about ancient Roman life. And one of the things that was mentioned that sort of grabbed me the other night was that at Roman law, and this is true, at Roman law, a confession of a slave could not be admitted into evidence unless, mind you, torture had been applied to get the information. Because slaves in Roman culture were deemed almost incapable of the truth. And the thinking was that the only way they'll tell the truth is if you make them really hurt first. So, I couldn't help thinking about that in light of what this country has done. We have taken almost the same attitude. Yeah, there's no truth in one of them jihadis. They need a little torture to bring it out of. Make them bleed and sweat a little bit. All right. Make them bleed and sweat and drown a lot. Because you know what? The best part of it is, it's kind of fun to do. Because you can see them visions in your head of the Twin Towers coming down, and you can feel like you're finally getting a little bit of vengeance. Yeah. Detainees, no, victims are interrogated aboard the ships, the United States Navy vessels, and then they are rendered, you know, just like the melting of pork fat into lard is called rendering. Then they are rendered to other locations where they can be further tormented. And maybe we ought to stop using the word torture and use the word torment instead. Because we've just about run the word torture out of its value, thanks to the Bush administration in the last 7.5 years, haven't we? And the irony is neck deep on this, because a couple of the vessels that have been said to have held these concentration camp victims, they were dangerous terrorists, Bob. How come you have sympathy for them? I don't have sympathy for terrorists, but I have a recognition of the fundamental basic humanity of everyone on this planet. And I also understand that torture doesn't work. Never mind that. No, among the ships that have taken part in this floating prison program is, it makes a wave of nausea roll over me to think of this, is a ship bearing the name the USS Bataan. If I'm not careful, tears will well up in my eyes at the very thought. One of the illegal prison ships is a ship named for a place and a battle and a war crime. The Bataan Death March. At my fingertips, I don't have the number who started versus the number who finished. I don't have complete details, but you likely know them anyway. of the Bataan Death March. At the end of the Second World War, we held war crimes tribunals regarding the Bataan Death March in the Philippines, 1942, 60 miles of it. 60 miles. A forced march of 75,000 American and Filipino prisoners of war. Murder upon murder upon murder. Torment upon torment upon torment, scarcely imaginable in the mind of any but the most depraved. So broad in scope and deep in numbers was the death count that it has been to this day impossible to determine exactly how many people were killed. Ballpark estimates say that the minimum death toll is between 6 and 11,000 men. One in four and up, anywhere between one in four and two in seven killed during the Bataan Death March. There was torture. There was sadistic maiming. The kind of stuff that turns your stomach. It began when American prisoners were transferred from one camp to another. They were then sent from the second camp via seagoing vessels to prison camps in Japan and Korea and Manchuria. The vessels upon which the victims of the Bataan Death March were transported were referred to as hell ships. Hell ships. The general who was in charge of the Japanese army that compelled the Bataan Death March, as well as the atrocities at the camps that followed, testified at his war crimes trial that he had no idea how high the death toll was. On April 3, 1946, outside Manila, he was executed not for his active participation in the Bataan Death March, but for his simple negligence of it. Not that he knew what was going on and encouraged it. The man was put to death because he didn't bother to know. Because he neglected the well-being of those in his keeping. And today, somewhere on the surface of the watery portion of this planet, riding the ebbs and swells of the ocean, goes a United States naval vessel called the USS Bataan. Named so named not for the place, but for the battle, and for the heroism of those who held out and held out and held out and afforded Douglas MacArthur a chance to get away. And then were tormented past anything being recognizably human by their captors. That is the mother of the USS Bataan. And the USS Bataan today has been transformed by the orders of a vicious, murderous, soulless, heartless cabal of pure evil in the White House into one of the very hell ships that the people of my father's generation fought to make sure would never ride the seven seas again. The USS Bataan has been made by the Bush administration from a memorial to courage in the face of horror, to a living embodiment of that horror. It's not just the USS Bataan. The USS Peleliu has also been used. So too have 15 other ships that have been are suspected of having operated around the British territory of Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean. Diego Garcia having been used as a military base and staging area both by the UK and the United States. Look up Peleliu. See who has been demeaned by the Bush administration in using that vessel as a hell ship. The reprieve study includes the account of a prisoner released from Guantanamo Bay who described a fellow inmate's story of detention on an amphibious assault ship. Quote, "One of my fellow prisoners in Guantanamo was at sea on an American ship with about 50 others before coming to Guantanamo. He was in the cage next to me. He told me that there were about 50 other people on the ship. They were all closed off in the bottom of the ship. The prisoner commented to me that it was like something you see on TV. The people held on the ship were beaten even more severely than in Guantanamo." Clive Stafford Smith is the legal director of Reprieve. He said they chose ships to try to keep their misconduct as far as possible from the prying eyes of the media and lawyers. We will eventually reunite these ghost prisoners with their legal rights. By its own admission, the United States government is currently detaining at least 26,000 people without trial in secret prisons, and information suggests up to 80,000 have been through the system since 2001. Smith says the U.S. government must show a commitment to rights and basic humanity by immediately revealing who these people are, where they are, and what has been done to them. The election of Barack Obama becomes more and more important. There will be no light shed on these disappeared human beings, under a McCain administration. A McCain administration will barely even deem that these are, in fact, human beings. A McCain administration will see nothing wrong with 26,000 human beings disappeared from the face of the planet, leaving no trace. And to which can, will, may, and has been done god-awful things that you, not being a psychopath or a sociopath, cannot begin to fathom. It's been done on the Peleliu, done on the Ashland, done on the Bataan. Of course, the Navy trotted out a spokes creep, Commander Jeffrey Gordon. He said, "There are no detention facilities on U.S. Navy ships." But some individuals have been put on ships for a few days. A few days of initial detention. How many's in a few? I never learned the mathematical meaning of the word few. Bigger than a bread box? Smaller than a camel? A few days of initial detention. ...26,000 people right now on this planet are non-entities. Their mothers, their fathers, their loved ones, their children, their communities know only that in the dark and still of the night they were made to disappear. I remember when we were horrified to learn of the disappeared of Argentina and Chile and the criminal right-wing regimes of people like Augusto Pinochet. You, I, many of us were absolutely sickened and horrified to learn that people could just be taken in the middle of the night from their homes, put into an aircraft, flown out over the sea, and pushed out an open door at 15,000 feet. What does it do to you to realize that your country, my country, a country that we have been raised from birth to be willing to fight and die for, is in its own right willing to do that to other human beings for reasons that we are only told are connected to national security? Anything in the world may be done in 2008. Anything in the world may be done in these early years of the 21st century. Anything in the world may be done by us, the Americans, as long as we are determined that we will call it a matter of national security. A goat herder captured on a bounty as a result of a name dropped by a rival who wants his pasturage. As you and I communicate together this evening, may be bobbing in the hold of an American hell ship somewhere at sea on the surface of this planet. I won't speak for you, But I will tell you that that gives me the cold chills. Because sooner or later, what they are willing to do to others, they will be equally willing to do to American people themselves. And that is not, by any stretch of the imagination, an elaboration or an exaggeration or, God knows, some kind of joke. Long way to November. Long, long way. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Ed.
How you going?
I'm getting there.
Have you found any remedies for whatever your problem was?
A lot of rest and a profound change in diet.
And the reason for the change in diet?
I've got so much, my cholesterol and triglycerides are so high that they began attacking my internal organs.
Well, don't sound too good.
No, it wasn't pleasant. It wasn't pleasant at all.
If you get the triglycerides and so forth down, will that bring everything back into...
Well, yeah, things are coming back into order. Yeah, there was no... everything that the diagnostic test showed, there was no permanent damage done, so grateful for that.
That's probably the best thing that could have happened then. You know, it's just a matter of getting everything back in sync.
Yeah, I like to think that I got a telegram from the universe telling me to stop drinking the cheese dip straight out of the bottle. Some people have problems with drugs. Other people have problems with booze. Ed, I have problems with fat. I crave it. I love it. I just love it. Cheese, oh my God, I'm a cheese freak.
I like it too, but not like that. You know,
I was sitting back here 12, 16 hours a day and, you know, just sitting here and, you know, whatever was at hand, I'd eat.
Your own recommendation?
Yeah.
Get you some radishes, some green peppers, some carrots, and some celery, and keep it in cold water in the refrigerator. And when you want a snack, I'm telling you, that will really help curb the...
grind on? Yeah, absolutely. I love that stuff.
And I do too. And cucumbers, and put cucumbers in with onions. And don't peel the cucumbers. Just cut them up, you know, peeling and all. And let them soak in vinegar. And you'll find out that it's pretty good.
I love that stuff. I absolutely adore that stuff. And I've just got to get... Well, you know, Agnes and I have had a discussion. And I said, you know, either I'm going to do a dietary change for me and everybody's going to keep eating what they're eating, or we're all going to change. And she says we're all going to change. So I think that's a good thing, because it would be good to, because I recognize that this stuff is genetic. I mean, this isn't me. This is stuff that I get as a virtue of the way my, you know, very nature is set up from my heredity. And I don't want my kids to ever go through what I went through in the last week. No, no, no.
No. Trouble with Dreamer, when Dreamer goes on a diet, she wants the whole world on one.
Well, I guess that's what I'm doing to my family, too.
I don't adhere to that. Well, but I was going to tell you something. You was talking about how we treat prisoners and stuff, and I can tell you this, that we are the worst torture-teaching nation in the world. We taught the Ayatollah, or the, what was his name, the Shah of Iran?
Yeah, the Savik was his secret police.
Yeah, and I have a friend, a real good friend, and you know him, that was in Nam, and he told me that our own people, that they caught some kind of black plague of some kind, and that's where some of the missing POWs was before they died, that they sent them to an island, and he was there. And he said they weren't missing in action, that they were sent because they were afraid to bring them back to the United States because of how diseased they were. Now, you're talking about something that, that's our government. That's our great government that would do our own people that way. And I don't know if you've ever heard of that or not.
Uh-uh.
Well, I'll tell you who it was. Yeah, I'm sure you know him. Clayton Casto. He's got Casto's Greenhouses.
Yeah, yeah.
Real popular guy. And he talked to me about it. I don't know how many other people. He didn't. Guys like that don't talk too much, but me and him got pretty tight. And he told me some of the stuff that he had seen. And we're the slobs of the world when it comes to torture and mistreatment of people, and recognizing the Geneva Convention is a joke.
So, we've made it one.
Yeah. So, it's like my daughter got into it in her social studies with one of the teachers about how other countries had such good torture chambers and so forth. And she told them, said, well, we taught them.
And that's the absolute truth. All the hell and misery that was inflicted on the people of El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, those right-wing dictatorships sent their military to Columbus, Georgia,
mm-hmm.
to an installation there, a military installation that runs something, and it exists to this day, called the School of the Americas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they learned to torture their own citizens.
Yeah.
We taught them.
Yeah, we were behind, we've been behind 90% of everything that's ever happened like that. But you tell the American people like that, and they look at you like you're a traitor.
Look at you. They'll ask you, why do you hate America?
Mm-hmm. And it's not America. It's the people like George Bush and the cronies that throughout the world.
When you take a naval vessel that is named in honor of the sacrifices of the people who fought and died at Bataan and were subjected to such hell, and you use that ship with that name to do the very same thing that we executed people for after the Second World War,
mm-hmm.
something very, very bad has happened to one's own country, has it not?
Yeah, well, I ask you this. Who in the hell is the real terrorist?
Well, I know the answer to that.
Yeah. We are. You know, who in the hell terrorized Iraq and anybody else that has got in the way? And it's these knuckleheads like we got in Washington now, like Cheney and Bush. I don't know who's the worst of the two.
I think Cheney is by far.
They don't put them on trial before we get control of everything.
Well, I just...
You know George Bush is going to pardon him.
Well, that's... Well, no. If he did one of those last-minute pardons of people like Cheney and Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz and that crowd, that's the same as an admission of guilt.
Mm-hmm.
But the one trick is, the President of the United States may not pardon himself. And that's what makes getting a Democratic president in November so important.
Mm-hmm.
Because McCain will just, he will pardon. He will, yeah, sure.
Well, you can hang that up. If I'm wrong on this, you'll never hear me talk about politics again. And I've been in politics now for 30 years. And if America does that this time, then we need to brand ourselves American fools. We've been fools. Well, we really weren't fools over Bush because he stole the elections and he really lost them. And, you know, I don't have to tell you, the Supreme Court picked the dang president.
Sure enough.
And so American people really didn't put him in. It was Baker and that bunch that drug that election out. And it was just, you know, I don't know what you would really call that. You know, it was, we know that he didn't win it, but the way they drug it out and got it before the Supreme Court or the courts, then that's the way we wound up with George Bush.
Truth in that.
And I don't know, you know, I really don't know what the answer would be if this was to do over. How would we do it? How would we handle it to get the right man in that had the most votes? Do you?
At some point, there's got to be electoral reform, and some of it has to happen by virtue of a constitutional amendment. The Electoral College has got to go, Ed. It's just got
that,
to end.
The superdelegates, that's the biggest crock
well,
I've ever heard of.
Now, the superdelegates can be gotten rid of on just a party basis, because that's not national. That was just an inside the Democratic Party rule. The Democratic Party can get together at their whenever meeting and say, you know, they're gone, eliminated.
No matter what you, in my opinion, no matter what it comes down to, there ain't none of those people deserve two votes or three. In my opinion, it's supposed to be set up one person, one vote. But that ain't the way it works at all. And as long as we got the system set up like it is, the people are really not going to control.
But it's a deeper problem too, Ed. We've got to get the money out of the process. We've got to end corporate donations. We've got to end the corporate funding of our political process. Public financing of election campaigns is, I think, of critical importance. Somewhere along the way, we've got to start having a serious discussion. You know, none of this mealy-mouthed, milquetoast business of, we're going to reform the election laws. No. No, they don't need repairing. They need rebuilding.
Yeah. They need to start at the bottom and build it over.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
Public financing of elections. A complete overhaul of the very idea that you can buy a political office should be anathema to this nation.
Yeah, well, and that's what had happened. When you're talking about spending $21 million to win an election, or $11 million to win for a governorship, like it's happened right here in this state, something's wrong.
Anytime you spend more money than the office is worth, there's something dirty afoot.
I heard that just last week on one of the programs I know who said it. Was that, what is his name from Minnesota, Ventura or whatever?
Yeah, Jesse Ventura.
And he said that his policy would be never to spend more money on an election than the office returned him. And I thought that was a very good way of putting it. But anyway, I just thought I'd call you and tell you about this thing that my buddy told me about, a bunch of POWs, supposedly POWs, was really put on an island because of how diseased they were and that they couldn't bring them back to the United States. So they'll always be as POWs.
My gracious.
They'll always be listed as missing in action or POWs.
Hmm. Well, Ed, I thank you. I really do appreciate it.
All righty, Bob. I'll talk to you later.
All right, you take
Tell
care.
Tell everybody we said hi.
I sure will, and say hey to Dreama for us.
I sure will.
All right, take care.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye now. It's our buddy Ed over across the river. It's about 6 minutes before the hour, and just to wrap things up a little bit and let you know the way things are going and the way things are happening, we are at the beginning of another month, it is another month that we did not reach our goal for the funds that we hope to raise to keep the horn on the air. Kind of getting used to that. Just sort of riding on the razor's edge and hanging by a sliver. But it is another month, and I hope we will get closer this month than we did last. With that being the case, you know, there's a PayPal button at the website, headonradionetwork.com. There's also a snail mail address, and it is 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, Beckley, West Virginia. Oh, I'm sorry. 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318. Beckley, Beckley, West Virginia, 25801. To those who are monthly standard contributors to keeping us on the air, you have the eternal and abiding thanks of not only us at the horn, but of the rest of the audience that you continue to make this happen for. If you have never contributed to the horn and you are able to, in any amount, we would certainly appreciate it. Tomorrow night we will get back to, or tomorrow in general, back to a more normal schedule. Guy James will be coming your way at 3 p.m. Eastern. Mark Levine will be along at 5. I'll be here at 6. I presume Peter Godbold will be along at 9 p.m. He's a rerun tonight. He was tied up in much the same circumstances as he's been having to deal with his real-life job, making computers go and behave themselves and cracking the cyber whip over servers and things like that. But everything will return to more or less normal tomorrow. Thank you for making my return such a pleasant affair. I can't tell you how I missed you guys. I can't begin to express it. And it, frankly, it scares me when I'm away from this microphone for very long at all, because I begin to feel cut off from a lot of people that I care about tremendously. Thank you to John Fox and Peter Godbold, our chief engineer and IT professional, respectively. Thank you to Ben Birch, who kept the stream going in my absence. I really appreciated that. An amazing man, Ben Birch, is at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Everything that happens on the stream happens because of the efforts of Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk. Thanks to our dear friends at Coal River Mountain Watch, partial sponsors of every program on the horn. CRMW.net is the website. You can go there for a very little amount of money. You can join Coal River Mountain Watch, and you can know that in so doing you have become a part of the solution to the hell that is mountaintop removal. Join us tomorrow evening for a conversation, speaking of which, with Ed Wiley. We'll catch up on Pennies of Promise, and we'll catch up on what Ed's doing to try to make life a little bit safer, a little bit cleaner for children in the Coal River Valley. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you. We'll be right back. gay porn shows up, and the teacher's freaking out, going crazy, trying to get it off the screen.
Get around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. And what, to my wondering ears, did appear seconds before the start of the show? The front doorbell. One wonders who is at the door, but I certainly cannot get up and go check to see. I suppose if it's urgent, they will kick the door in. In any case, welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 143 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the LGBT version of Conversation Radio, in touch with the LGBT community and our straight allies. Strictly Confidential is found exclusively on the listener-supported Head On Radio Network, also brought to you in part by Coal River Mountain Watch. That's CRMW.net, Coal River Mountain Watch. Stop by CRMW.net and see what mountaintop removal is doing to West Virginia. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. Today is, in fact, Thursday, May the 8th, 2008. So if you're listening shortly after 9 p.m., let's see, it's about 9:03 Eastern Time on a Thursday, that is May the 8th, you're listening to a live show, and you are welcome to phone in and talk with myself and to the guest who will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. By the way, the guest is Jim Burroway, and he is the editor of Box Turtle Bulletin. I couldn't be happier to have Jim on the show. His site is devoted to analyzing statements and scientific claims of ex-gay and anti-gay organizations. And we've used his site as a resource many times. In fact, you've heard me say, gee, I ought to get that guy on the show. Well, we finally done it. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com, and there you're going to find links to all of the guests, as well as to the audio archives from the past shows, as well as to the chat room. There are also links there for Strictly Confidential's MySpace page and links to help you locate the music that you hear on the show. You'll find there also a Head On Radio Network main site link, and there you can find out about all of the other progressive programming on the Head On Radio Network, of which I am only a small part. You will find there also a PayPal button to make it easier for you to support the Head On Radio Network. To participate, this is Conversation Radio. You can dial in toll-free at 877, the number 4, head-on. That translates into 877-443-2366. If you have unlimited long distance, please use that and save the studio a nickel or a buck. That's area code 304-658-3333. That's 304-658-3333. And that rings in West Virginia. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. That's Peter at headonradionetwork.com.